Free FM, 106.7 WJFK,
Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Our next guest is one of the stars of the popular television program, The King of Queens, Monday nights at 8 right here on CBS. Here's the lovely Leah Remini, ladies and gentlemen.
Fleeting.
Okay. And how?
That's the start. Yeah.
How are you anyway?
Oh boy, two great things at the beginning of the show.
Mike, the beginning of the show really sets the tone. Yeah, it's going to suck today.
Two men side by side for 20 years.
We'll do the best we can.
Such devotion makes me choke back tears. But listen, there ain't nothing broke back here.
Hi, Leah.
Thought that I should make that very clear. It's a party without...
We really don't want to hear this, do we?
Oh, play it for the hook, Don. Here we go.
I love driving home with Don and Mike.
Everybody.
So do I.
They simply make my day more bright.
Day more bright.
All right, here she comes out. She plays the feisty, outspoken wife to the King of Queens, making her the Queen of Queens. Here's Leah Remini.
I ain't going back till I'm finished with a show.
Anyway, it goes on and it goes on and it goes on.
He's a crooner. Don't you know? He's a crooner.
Lovely ballad.
Voted off American Idol last night. There he is.
The ballad song.
The crooner.
The crooner. Oh, goodness.
Oh, mercy.
Where do we begin?
Mercy me.
Let's start today, with a little internet fun.
Very good.
Intronet.
This John?
Hello. John, this is Don. How are you?
How are you?
Have you met Mike?
Hi, Mike.
Hello, John. How are you?
Fine.
Very good.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, John.
Hi, Rob.
Hi.
John runs our website along with other people now, and John is like the point person on the website.
Right.
John, why are the audio highlights not up at donandmikewebsite.com? It has been 2 days that we've not had a download available?
We haven't had one since Monday, and that would be because the retards that run playstream.com are doing server maintenance, and God knows why it takes 4 days.
Okay. Right.
Okay, well, maybe we should put a sign up on the front of the front of the website.
Under construction?
Pardon the dust.
Okay. So anyway,
under construction. I love that when you go to a website and they say that.
When do we think we'll have that fixed?
Well, they said yesterday 24 hours. I'm starting to doubt it. I checked just before the show, and they're still working on it.
Now, this is not one of our engineers.
No. This is a company out of the great state of Washington in Seattle.
Well, again, I say it was not one of our engineers.
Oh, sorry. Just fleeting.
Fleeting.
That's right.
Okay, so that's item number one.
Here's the update.
Item number two.
Have you thought about calling Caller Geek or whatever that service is? Was it
Geeks on Call?
Geeks on Call.
They might be faster.
Second item.
Yes.
Here we go. I love people on the internet, you big mouths.
I know you do.
Johnny pulled this. We're talking about the website and the chat sites about the show.
Right.
And we got another memo here from the corporate people.
Really?
About the podcast. How excited the company is that our podcast is doing so well.
Good.
Yesterday at the beginning of the show, I read a memo from the corporate people saying that for the first time, you know, that our little show had overtaken Howard Stern and become the number one podcast, you know, among talk radio.
Right. Okay.
I'm pretty sure that I insinuated that I was not saying that our little radio show was the most downloaded podcast out of all of them in the universe.
You said talk radio.
You specified.
Okay. Then there's a two-part answer to something that was on a website.
Oh.
And I just hate dicks like this.
I know. Let's clear it up.
And let's start with his screen name. This is at RadioGodsForum.com.
Mm-hmm.
Generally a pretty friendly site.
Sure.
Screen name is Love Mike, Hey Don.
Hey.
And here we go. Don is exaggerating again about how great the show does. He said yesterday that they were the top podcast on iTunes. Now, my math isn't great.
No, you didn't.
But if you have the 100th most downloaded podcast, how does that make you the top podcast? They aren't even the top radio show. Ahead of them are, and then he lists about five or six things, including stuff that's not radio, like NPR, Science Friday. I have no idea what some of this stuff is. ESPN. So anyway, then the guy writes at the bottom, maybe they mean their number one in D.C.-based afternoon drive, CBS-owned show podcast.
No, what a hump.
Okay. All right, listen, Dick. When you go to iTunes and you go to your podcast directory,
right,
click on Talk Radio.
That's right.
That's what I was talking about.
You said that.
Now, we follow this up with this memo today, again, from CBS. Believe it or not, the company is finally proud of something that we're doing.
Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
You would think that this
isn't that
would,
wonderful?
You would think that this would turn into a few clears for the show, that they would figure out that people are clamoring for
no,
it.
Right.
But no. And this comes again from Craig, the research guy. This is a company-wide memo.
Thanks, Craig.
The Don and Mike podcast in the last 24 hours is either number one or number two in talk radio, with only one more Harry Potter podcast to beat. And then he has a little smiley face after that. Don and Mike is now in the top 100 of all podcasts. And that is saying something. There are between 30 and 45,000 podcasts. And the Don and Mike podcast is listed as number 100 this morning. Huge exposure.
That's cool.
The company is thrilled. And then
They say the company is thrilled?
Yes.
The company has never been thrilled about us.
And then it goes on and it says, blah, blah, blah.
Thrilled.
So too.
They are thrilled.
So to Love, Mike, Hate, Don, who wrote at the title of his thread, Top Podcast, not by my math. Hey, listen, douche, here's the thing. I don't exaggerate about how great the show does. When we suck, I tell you.
You do.
When we do great, I tell you.
This is a show that came up with buttons to give away when we were number 14.
I remember.
And listen, if you don't
is
think...
John's still on the line?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. But, John?
Yes.
John, did you go to iTunes? Where are we ranked right now?
We're still number two.
Still number two. Okay. Uh-huh. Thank you. But again, remember, that's in iTunes category talk radio.
Right.
Right.
In which it's our little show up against every other big name that you ever heard of in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, including, you know, Big Bird.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Johnny.
All right. We're looking to beat Harry Potter this weekend.
Okay. That's the big joke with everybody.
We can do it.
Okay. Thanks, John. So anyway, to Love Mike, Hey Don, you know, listen, don't be such a pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Call the show if you ever think that I'm saying something, and this is the one thing that I will just get the red ass about, really, is about facts and figures.
Being wrong.
I don't lie, because it's easy to go back and check. If I say we have a certain share of the audience,
right,
it's easy to go back and look at the figures that are published and see I'm not lying.
Well, you don't have to be so hard on that guy.
really?
Anyway, ass. And I hope the people on this website eat him up and just chew him and spit him out.
Discipline him.
Have him turn into waste.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
Eat him. Because you guys on the internet, you creepy people, you're good at that.
You
turn on each other on a dime.
Yes, they are. They eat their young.
you become ugly mobs immediately.
Well, he's obviously, based on his screen name, got an agenda. He's doing that divide and conquer thing that people have done to us for 20 years
that we love so much.
And that's right there, a giveaway. And also, I should add, a tad obsessive, if that is, you know, if he's using that as one of his screen names.
And for the record, if we are, in fact, and we are now the 100th podcast out of 45,000.
That's a lot.
I'd say that's pretty good for a radio show That's on 25 radio stations across America right now.
Sure is. You know what I'd like to do to him? I'd like to put coins on his eyes. I'm reading a book right now where the killer does that.
Yeah. I'd like to put coins on your eyes.
So anyway.
that's all I got for you from the internet. I know I shouldn't care, but I come in today and Johnny's looking through this and he's, you know, says, God, you know, we made a huge mistake. We should have said, you know, that I guess we got a lot of response. People do like the fact that we have a download available on our website every day.
This deal with the podcast is, I have to be honest with you, unprecedented. We are very surprised. And you know what? I'm not too big to say that we're not surprised at this. It really is something that is interesting, and it's kind of alerted people in the company to, as you said before, where the hell are the clears? If it's generating this much interest with something that people have to do that much work to get, right? And to download that, I mean, you got to go through the procedure and get that all done.
Right.
That says something, and I'm proud of that. I really am.
Yeah, so anyway, let me see. Love, Don. Hate, Mike. That's it. Love, Mike. Hate, Don. Eat one.
Mm-hmm.
Eat one.
Yeah,
I don't lie about nothing when it comes to facts on this show.
That's right.
And come on, you know, it's been a long time since I've done this. Come on down, big boy.
Yeah.
Come on down. You know what I'm saying?
I'd like to say something to him. Can I say something?
Like, Lydia, I've got my fighting ring on today.
That's right. May I say something to the emailer?
Oh, yes.
Thank you for your interest in the show.
Please come again.
Okay. So that's...
He's up.
That's all I had from the internet for you today.
I'm sorry. I'm goofy tired, Don.
You're two of us, man.
You're tired, and so is your buddy Buzz.
Hi.
Back there on the back wall of Buzz's studio is the giant poster that you had for your restaurant last night. And it says,
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Did I do it justice when I described it to you yesterday?
It says, O'Mara's Restaurant welcomes noted newsman and a nice guy, and then in huge letters, Buzz Burbank is our celebrity judge for the Snow Bunny contest this Thursday night, which was last night.
That's right.
He was wonderful. He couldn't have been any more wonderful.
Really?
He was everything everybody wanted him to be.
Oh, that's good, then.
And a little bit more.
Oh, I'm glad, then. I had a great time.
I have so many questions to pepper you with.
I have the answers to those questions.
Oh, good. I can't wait to hear them.
It's very, very exciting. It was a very exciting night.
Everyone was so nice. Thank you very much. Let me just say this.
Was he surrounded by bodacious babes?
At times, yes. Let me just say this about my night last night at O'Mara's.
Yes.
Good things happened.
Oh, goddamn.
Oh, Mike just coughed.
That's
up a lung.
Mike.
That's the shameless plug that I was looking.
That's right there. I'm all done. We don't have to talk about it anymore. It's I got what I wanted. No, it was fun, but I felt the pressure. I felt the pressure, and due to that,
what, being his pimp?
Yeah, I felt the pressure and may have lingered a little longer than you and I should have last evening. It was
so it was a night for you as well.
Boy, I haven't had one like that in quite some time. It's been, God, two or three nights.
You seemed in pretty good shape when we left at 1:30 in the morning.
I always seem fine. On the outside, I appear fine. What's happening on the inside of my body is my body is really just closing in on me because it's a mess.
So
I haven't had the big physical. I'm going to have it, and it's just I know what the results are going to be. If you see me come in one day and they're going to say, Mr. O'Mara, Kool-Aid, that's it. That will be my beverage for the rest of my life.
Drink this.
Yeah, Buzz was just perfect in the role of goodwill ambassador for this show. He was greeting everyone. He was polite to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, do you know how you and I will go out and do things occasionally, and we will have a lot of nice people.
Excuse me, Mike. I'm sorry.
What?
I smell fish.
Wow.
I smell not in this room.
I showered.
I think it's coming through the ventilation system. maybe from an adjoining studio.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A little hint of perfume on it, too.
Trust the Gordon's Fisherman.
I'll freshen up during the break.
Anyway, so you were at Mike's joint.
Yes.
And you're there to be the king of the snow bunny contest.
I was one of the judges.
What I was going to say is, you know, when we go out and we'll have a lot of nice people come up and say hi, and we'll, You know, maybe every two or three that we do, we'll get that one person, you know, that'll come up to you or me and want to say something mean. He doesn't get any mean stuff. He gets all love. I mean, he gets just showered with the Quan.
Yeah, I know.
It was very nice. I needed the love, and last night I got the love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bastard.
And he can handle himself. He really can. You don't need to...
He's everything we're not, Mike.
You don't need to, like... support him. You just put him in a spot and they will come to him, and he will just sit there and handle it with a great deal of ease.
How are you?
Yes, I am.
I'm the likable one.
But I really got the distinct impression you were eating it up. You were lapping it up last night.
I told
night.
You. I went last night. I needed the love. Last night I got the love. It was great. It was a wonderful exchange.
Have I mentioned I'm not wearing underwear?
He wore his Mr. Moose T-shirt, you know, that thing that's got the horns on it.
Oh, the elk.
The thing the guy sent you?
Yeah, from Squidfire. Yeah.
Right. And what appeared to be like a velvet jacket, a velvet sport coat.
Hey.
Yeah. I mean,
color-coordinated.
Yeah. He came in and it was just...
All right, Mr. GQ.
I mean, that picture that we have on the website, he was that guy.
He didn't let anybody...
Almost sounds like something that Conway West would wear.
Did anyone come up to Buzz and say, excuse me, Mr. Seacrest?
Well, yes, they did.
It was fun. And I didn't really even linger around Buzz because Buzz was completely self-sufficient. And every time I saw Buzz, he was chatting somebody up. And, men, women, old, young...
Mm-hmm. I think
black,
we should put the call out to get some people on the air who had contact with Buzz.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear
night.
From them.
Yes.
I enjoyed myself so much, I may be going back. In fact,
like what,
you
tonight?
Can take that to the bank.
Oh, Buzzy.
Let's go now.
I really enjoyed the role of being the guy that's like... schmoozing for Buzz, that was being welcoming Buzz and doing, I kind of liked, I tried to do everything that we used to like when we'd go somewhere. You did.
Yeah, you treated me like a king.
And
I had a
was,
great time. Great host.
Yeah, but I didn't have a lot to do with it. It was fun. I liked it. Did he get drunk?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know what I've learned? I've learned I have a great relationship with alcohol. I found out I never used to like the taste of alcohol, and so I didn't start drinking until later in life, say about the time I joined this show. And then I learned about quality vodkas, and now I found out I can drink, and maybe it's because I waited late in life, I can drink massive quantities and function just fine and feel great the next morning.
We presented Buzz with an award, too.
That's why we gave him
a major award.
See, that's why everybody likes him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The guy had like 8,000 drinks last night.
Right.
Really called me this morning very early.
I saw him at the end of the evening. I would not have known.
Called me and said, hi. I said, hey, what's happening? Blah, 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 blah. I had 3 hours and 45 minutes of sleep. Alcohol is my friend.
We gave him a big plaque. Not a big plaque, but you know the little certificates you'd get in high school? You know, completed the, or middle school, completed the eighth grade?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We gave, it was something along. Did you bring?
I forgot to bring, it's still at your place.
I forgot to bring that. This is much nicer, but in some ways reminds me of the time that we brought David Haynes out to that Burger King to make him the king of Virginia.
He would have done it. If I'd had a throne and a robe for him, he would have put it on.
Sure.
After his second martini, he would have.
Yeah, see, now the difference is this other news guy, pre-Buzz, uh-huh. that we had on our morning show.
Yes, the late David Haynes.
Wonderful man.
Yeah, a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He, because it was a morning show, wouldn't have been drunk. And even if it was a nighttime show, I don't think he drank anything besides like milkshakes.
I think he was a teetotaler, but he sure put on the crown and the robe and everything. And we put him out of the top of a limo and had him drive through. I mean, what, King of Northern Virginia?
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, it was half... It was all tongue-in-cheek. It was all like, do you think he'll really do it? And then it was like, yes. And then it was like, I remember being at that Burger King with Mike and standing there and going... Oh, my God, look at him. He's really wearing... It's like he's not mad or anything.
No, he committed to it. He thought...
It was
as much as I hate to say, he thought we were being serious.
Thought it was a tribute.
He really did, and of course, that was the most fun part.
Yes.
It was delightful.
I do remember him sitting up there and just waving over it. You having a good time? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the way he'd do it, too. He was great. He would be like, hi, how are you? He's there with his big crown. He had a full... regular regal royal king crown that we put him with the velvet and everything and all the jewels in it and a real robe, and he sat at Burger King on a throne.
Well, I know you've heard this before, but you two know how to treat a guy.
So I maintain that probably you could have, especially with booze involved, you could have gotten Buzz into the same outfit that we had David Haynes in 15 or 20 years ago.
He was a judge. The whole reason we had him out there is because he was a judge for the Snow Bunny contest, and he sat right at the foot of the stage with the other judges. Right. But he was the only judge that was introduced. He was the only judge that was spotlighted.
Oh, Randy and Paula didn't get to stand up?
Randy and Paula had to sit in their chairs, and that was it. Were there five other judges?
I got to be Simon. I think three or four
other. Three or four other judges? Right. Okay. And you were right on top of the stage.
Right in the center.
It was,
also, I'd like to say, besides, I see all the phones are ringing, besides the people who may have met Buzz and once again been won over by his charming personality.
It's true.
You know, Mike's right. You know, it could be me or Mike sitting down somewhere. Three people in a row will come up and go, "Hey, I really like the show." The fourth guy will come and go, "Hey, are you Don from Don and Mike?" And I go, "Yeah." And he'll go, "God, will you ever stop talking about how much you like Diet Vanilla Coke?" Really?
Yeah.
It's because people, you know, listen to the show and make a connection with us, and that's fine because you think, you know, you think you know us. Oh, you think you know us.
Right.
Oh, you people, you think you know us. You do know us pretty good.
And maybe that's why.
Buzz gets none of that.
People don't know me quite as well.
All Buzz gets is just, you know, "Hi, how are you?" You know, and God damn you for having that Clooney thing going on. Women like you, and men would like to be like you.
I will give you an example of something that was said to me in my own joint.
Who's the last thing I was going to say?
Yeah.
Besides all of the accolades calls, seriously, if Buzz touched any of you in an inappropriate way, I want to set up a special hotline number right now.
Define touched.
It's 1-800.
Buzz defiled me.
Buzz's finger. 1-800 Buzz finger. 1-800 finger fist.
It was the only number we could get.
Do you know what seriously was said to me in there one night, and a woman came up
all
to me?
All calls will be kept in confidentiality.
And said this straight to my face.
Will be confidential.
Right.
Walked up to me and said, "Your girlfriend ought to date someone who's younger and less fat."
Ouch.
Would you ever see a man like Buzz getting anyone to say anything like that to him?
Wow.
It would never happen.
I don't know why people are cruel that way.
And I said my usual response.
People are dicks, Buzz.
I said, "Thank you for coming."
Is that the first time you met Carla's mom? Yeah.
It was really painful. It hurt.
Yeah, sure.
Generally speaking, people, the people listening to the show, the people out there not listening to the show, are just like us. They're dicks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, what person out there is not a dick? I mean, with the exception of...
I didn't meet any last time.
Rob's raising his hand.
Oh, come on, please.
Not a dick.
KD. Come
on.
KD. King dick.
This is my kingdom.
It's a pretty crappy kingdom you got here. King dick.
KD.
You can say that. Yes, welcome to the kingdom of dick.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. This is all off the record, incidentally.
Right. We're not really...
We've not officially opened the show yet. Hello?
How's it?
Hi there.
I wanted to ask Buzz if there were any Asian women contestants last night.
Hey, good question.
How he voted.
I don't believe among the contestants there were, not to my knowledge.
Bye!
Okay. That's an interesting fetish request.
It
Hello.
Is.
Don and Mike show.
Hi, I would like to know if Don has found a replacement for Diet Vanilla Coke, because I haven't, and I need help.
Well, first off, welcome to the show, Mr. Dumas.
you, sir, I have to ask, you sound like perhaps you're a member of the Big Man's Club. Are you?
This is true. I'm about 6'5", 315.
God love you. Fantastic. Welcome to the club.
All right, well, then.
Thank you.
Then let me just say, first, Mr. Dumas, you are on the air with us. Should have known that.
I am very appreciative of that fact.
Should have known that. Now, the beverage. Oh, right. The problem is that Diet Vanilla Coke is no more.
Yeah. Oh, this I know.
May I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
What type of four-door sedan do you drive?
I do not drive a four-door sedan.
You don't?
A two-door.
Oh,
two-door. A Honda Accord, actually. I am very pleased with it.
Jesus.
Wow. That's got to be quite
What'd you do, cut a hole in the top of it?
That's got to be quite an act, getting in and getting out.
Surprisingly roomy vehicle, gentlemen. Surprisingly
did you,
roomy.
Answer me these questions, please.
Did you enjoy your later flight back from Minnesota?
I'm not following on that one, but
friend, that was a story that that I had about coming back from Minneapolis. I enjoy the black cherry slash vanilla Diet Coke that's out there right now on your grocery shelves.
I've tried that. I find it to be an inadequate replacement.
I think that once you give it a test, you will find. I'm speaking to you now in my serious cola voice. That it has the essence of vanilla strongly overtakes whatever cherry flavoring is there. I believe it is marketing by the Coca-Cola company. Perhaps the whole vanilla Coke thing had simply run its course. Just be happy that they offer a carbonated beverage in a diet form that does contain some vanilla.
I can accept that answer, and I appreciate your time, gentlemen.
You know how you can fix it? Try putting in a couple of scoops of Ben and Jerry's. Make a float. Anything tastes better when it's a float.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate the advice, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you on MySpace.
Another weekend of scooping out the filling from jelly donuts and filling them with chocolate swirl ice cream.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Oops. Hold on a second.
Missed them.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
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 Hi, I was finally calling. I can finally tell my secret that I've...
You mean you met Buzz last night?
Yes, I've kept it to myself for a long time. It was very traumatic. I'm glad that you opened the phone lines for people to call and confess.
Thank you for calling the hotline.
And again, sure. It was Buzz last night at Mike's joint, right?
Yes, it definitely was.
It definitely was.
But he was gentle. All I can say is I'm sorry. It was an accident.
Yeah, he was a lot rougher on the guy that was behind me.
Okay, bye, honey.
Bye!
Bye-bye.
That's good.
I hope he took all of his rings and other things off.
Yeah. Just like a scene from Caligula.
Oh, you know what? If we're actually starting the show.
Yeah. Something official we need to do.
That's right. He's off probation.
Weekend's here! Have a can of beer!
Weekend's here! Have a can of beer! Yeah. Goodbye, Mr. Dumas.
Hey.
Bye, Joe. That's all he really does now. That is song this way. Joe.
Boy, am I in love. I think about my life in bliss. Everybody's got a laugh in bliss. A laugh in bliss.
Favorite part of the song is coming right up.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, or between 1 and 5, or between 1 and 4, or please check your local listings.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to go.
Hello!
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 Rebellious, you're goddamn right. You probably really, really like this guy. And what he's saying, don't you, Buzz?
I do, every word.
Yeah. He's got a next step in. He was next step in Nixon back then.
Is he a fortunate son?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? He's the most fortunate son. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. I understand we've got a new opening for you now, Rob.
Yeah, if you like.
Okay, let's see. Open the door and see a new opening for Rodney.
He's a lovable character. He's like the Kool-Aid guy.
He is fat.
No, he's just a little bloated.
How's your snow bunny?
Bloated.
My father always said I was his unfortunate son. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Kevin, the fidgety board op, and all the ships at sea.
Hey!
It's time to hit your number one button for Don Geronimo and the very fortunate Mike O'Mara, right there.
Yeah. Thank you. With Creedence Clearwater Revival. where I tell you that this is the Don and Mike Show. And it's a new episode, everybody, on this Friday.
Friday!
03. Oh, you did have a night last night. 0303-06.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Retarded. Now, listen. We don't give out the phone number a lot.
No.
Generally speaking, we don't want most of you to call.
Generally.
But if you're listening now, all right, here it is, 877-365-3636. Or you can call 800-636-1067. And if you're listening to us on the Titanic of radio, I like calling it the Abortion 1067. WJFK in Washington, call the 202-432-1067.
Perfectly all right to call it that as long as you don't come on, you know, come down on one side or the other.
There have been protests.
Right.
Yes. It's, you know, I'm going to alternate between Radio Titanic and Radio Abortion and, you know, and anyway. It's a great place to be. Top of the world. Top of the world.
Top of the world, Dave.
Top of the world, Dave. Let me see. Oh, the internet. If you go to our website, donandmikewebsite.com, click on Listen Live, and you'll get our glorious internet stream.
Hot chocolate.
Negative.
What is it?
You went to see that movie over the weekend with your daughters. What was the name of that movie?
8 Below.
Okay.
Oh, no.
That's right. It's from the German Shepherds.
Oh, no.
We got it on eBay. Uh-huh.
Or Huskies.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the Huskies from the movie.
And Malamutes.
I can't tell you exactly what it is, but the dogs eat a very lean diet when they're saving that guy in Antarctica or wherever they have to pull him around.
They consist of dead killer whale carcass and seagulls.
And anyway, that's what's in our stream today.
I can't tell whether that's coming from the stream or from Buzz's studio.
So don't be drinking that today.
No. Either way.
Don't be drinking that. You want to send us an email? Here you go. That is donandmikewebsite.com.
Wonderful.
That goes right to the back room, and the good ones get right on the air, and here we go. Okay. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Speak to us.
Hello.
For the 18th... thousandth time.
I don't even hear any breathing.
No. You take unscreen calls. You got to be ready to be on the air. Hello, Donna, Michael. And today's a day that we just, even if we did screen a lot of calls, today would be the worst possible day because it's Friday. And as we all know, Friday Joe, we are not getting the optimum Joe.
No, his mind is elsewhere.
Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Oh, are you another one of the women that was touched by Buzz?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's too bad.
We listen to your show every day. They're from work on my way home. Where did you guys broadcast from?
Where are you calling from? What city are you?
Baltimore.
Baltimore. We broadcast from D.C.
Oh, okay. I never could figure out where you folks were.
Where did you think we were?
You know, sometimes you talk about California, sometimes you talk about Chicago, and I just couldn't figure out what part of the country you were in.
The tower, where the tower comes out, you know, where the signal comes out, is based in Washington, D.C. The studios that we broadcast from are located in Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Okay.
We do it with satellite.
Guys, I'm thinking you wish that.
We are proud to broadcast from the birthplace of AIDS.
All right, don't believe me then. I don't think she believed you.
That is
no need to cop a tube.
That is something I remember from my honeymoon with Frida.
Yes,
that we went on a cruise. That's why we loved going on cruises so much. We even did it on our honeymoon, and our 25th anniversary would have been coming up this year.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, one of the first places we stopped was Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and this was in let's hear it for Haiti. This was in 1981 when we were married, and I remember as we got off the boat, a lot of people said, don't get off the boat here, but we did anyway because I was thrilled I could see there was a Kentucky Fried Chicken there.
Yeah.
And I thought in the middle of all of this urban decay,
right,
the fact that I could get my picture taken by Harlan Sanders,
sure,
you know, so I had Frida take my picture. And
were you advised not to get off the boat?
Was it
recommended?
It was one of those things at your own discretion.
Wow. Very poor, troubled country.
And this was, like I said, this was 25 years ago.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, as we were coming back, to the boat. Who knows? I mean, there were people that were selling beads, and, like, you know, we bought a bottle of whatever it was, Fanta, whatever it is that they sell there, you
right.
know, the off-brand Coca-Cola, whatever. Wasn't until, like, after the Magic Johnson thing happened, when people really started finding out about HIV and mm-hmm. AIDS, that one day, I remember she just came in and she said, "Boy, you are just so lucky." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "You know, where we stopped on our honeymoon, that's like that was like one of the main drop-off spots
yeah.
for AIDS." Mm-hmm. And she said, "You like touched everything." She said, "Do you remember when you insisted on going inside the Colonel Sanders?" I said,
"Did you eat any of the chicken?"
"Yes,
mm-hmm.
of course I did." And
look at you.
Look at me. I'm like Magic Johnson.
No side effects.
Like Magic Johnson. I don't. You know. I mean, he's doing fine. But no.
No side effects on the boat or anything like that.
No, nothing.
Chronic good. Rhea.
Nothing. Not a thing, Mike. Mm-hmm. I felt fine. I had no fleeting moments.
Well, that's good.
No fleeting moments. Not at all.
It's a lovely town.
I think even when Frida was alive, did we ever mention about how I bounced a check for my honeymoon?
It's so long ago. Yeah. I think you might have mentioned it, but I don't remember it. I don't remember you. I mean, that's far enough that you told that story where you could tell it again.
Oh, yeah.
Did you write it in Sharpie?
I believe this was pre-Sharpie again, you know, 25 years ago.
When I think of bounce checks, and I certainly have never...
Oh, would you stop it?
When I think of bounce...
One check.
When you say
in
you...
In 20 years.
When you say you bounced a check, I immediately think of a check in Sharpie, and don't you still write most of your checks in Sharpie?
Yeah.
It was like, and I always thought of that as kind of like a cartoon check.
Yes.
That's the idea, because, you know, boing, boing.
with that funny noise that it makes, too.
Okay, I bounced one check. I mean, who hasn't?
Did right. you bounce a check to me?
Yes, I bounced a check. I thought that's why you brought it up.
I don't remember that. I don't remember. It wasn't a big check.
Though. It was like $25.
That I don't hold on to. I only hold on to one thing for over almost 20, the whole 20 years that I will never.
What?
Do you see if you can guess what it is.
Oh, is it about the Errols, about the movie, about Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
We work well together.
Fast Times at
Ridgemont. No need for him to guess.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
How many years did you have that? How many years was that in your possession?
On Betamax.
I went to prison for that.
Yeah.
I did a stretch for that.
I know you did.
Okay, way back. This is in Betamax day.
Right.
Okay. Mike rented.
Traumatized me for video stores. I, to this day, I don't use them.
Right.
I don't go to them. And that was because they were
those days where when you were late with the movie,
yeah.
they would say to you, like, it's $189
right.
for a little Betamax tape. And for every day that you don't, it would be like incremental payments of $20 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike had to pay some ridiculous fee, like $300 for this movie. Everybody came to my house.
We had an afternoon screening. We were doing the morning show. We had a screening, a little film festival over at Don's house.
So we got some of our favorite movies.
Right.
And we all got wasted. And
Fast
we were,
Times at Ridgemont High, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
So we're all watching the movies. And everybody stumbles out of the house. And Mike didn't bring the tape. I guess the box. And I swore for years and years I did not have the tape. I did not have the tape. What was it? Was it Frida cleaning out?
I said to you shortly after, maybe one or two days later, I said, "Can you bring that tape in?" And I think right there you just dug your heels in and established the fact that I don't think I've got it. I said, "There's no way you don't have it. I didn't have it. I didn't bring it with me to ask you." And it was one of those competitive things that we do with each other where it's like, "I don't think I have it." I said, "No, I'm sure you have it." "No, I don't have it. I really don't." And then it became the deal where, you know, I think it somehow you didn't have it. And years later, how many years later was it?
I mean, it was like maybe 7 years later. Because
7 years later.
Because really, I would say to Mike,
by the
know,
way,
when you'd bring it up, I would say, you know, "Hey, listen," and I remember being emphatic about it. "I swear to Christ, I don't have it. If I had it, I'd give it to you."
Then I'd get you mad because I would look at you and I would say, "Right, right. Yeah, you don't have it. Okay."
Well, I believe that Frida found it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what happened?
Like in a box.
In a box in the basement.
Years later. Years later. Yeah. You were moving. I think you were moving.
That's exactly what it was. So listen, let me just tell you the honeymoon.
Yeah.
You know, God knows how she stayed married to me, especially in the first couple of years. Money management was not my strong suit. And even though I was making pretty good money being a DJ, I was putting a lot of it up my nose, and there's been a lot of it in my car, and I was, not thinking about anything except having a good time.
Right.
So it came time for the honeymoon, and we had selected this cruise. And I think it was like $1,100. A lot of money.
A lot of money in those days. Yeah.
Now, but back then, yeah. And I remember saying to her, no problem, I'll handle this. Now, the thing is, I had already been to the travel agency when I had to make the reservation. They required a $200 deposit.
Uh-huh.
They called, and all of this was going on in like the 3 days before I was getting married to Frida. They would call, we were living in Georgetown in an apartment, and they would call, and I would have to pretend it was someone else because it would be the travel agency calling saying, the check that you wrote us for the down payment, it bounced. And we are going to need another check, or else you're not going to be able to go on this trip.
The boat's leaving, sir.
So, and God, I don't even know why I'm telling you this, just because I'm just such an ass. I really am. What I did was, because I didn't think about consequences, I thought, okay, I'm going to marry Frida. That's great. We're going to go on the cruise. Mm-hmm. I don't have the balls to tell her that I don't have the money to pay for it. So what I did was, I said to her, something like, hey, I got to go get groceries or I got to do whatever. I said, I don't got any money. You got a check? Can you just sign a check? And so she signed a check. And she gave me a check.
Now, did you know that there was enough money to cover in the checking account?
Well, see, I didn't. I had no idea.
You were taking an educated gamble there.
Yeah. I thought she's got enough. And I thought, okay, well, I'll deal with this when we get back, because by then we'll have been married already. And
everything will be all right.
And, you know,
and she won't mind you stealing from her.
So she gives me the check that she signed. And
I don't think you told this story.
And I go, no, I'm positive I did, because I think I told it even with Frida on.
Okay.
Anyway, I give the guy at the travel agency the check. I said, this one's good. Mm-hmm. It's from my fiance. You know, I do chick's handwriting, Frida's maiden name and everything.
All right.
Cool. We go on the cruise. Fantastic cruise. Good. Great honeymoon.
Wonderful.
And as every day on the cruise went on, in my mind, I was more and more, when I should have been enjoying myself and having the best time, I was thinking in the back of my mind, she's going to so kill me.
When that day is just around the corner.
When that bank statement shows up, right? So we got off the boat, we got on the airplane, we came back home. I got totally blindsided by this. Now, I thought that because Frida had it much more together than me, you know, as far as running her household and everything,
right,
that the worst that's going to happen is that she's going to get a bank statement in a month. Because this was before ATMs, before you could check anything online. She was going to get a statement and go, you know, Jesus Christ, $1,100, what was this for? And then I was going to be prepared to say, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. Little did I know, we arrived back at our apartment. She opens up the mailbox,
uh-huh,
and right away, now I know because I'm like this, I know what the notice from the bank looks like.
Overdraft.
That says you have an overdraft.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the deal. I remember this almost, 25 years ago. Almost, like, she reaches in with the key, and we're just standing there going, yeah, love you. This is so good. Never, you were married. And she opens up the thing. She says, oh, here's the mail. Would you take it? I said, yeah, sure. And I wasn't even thinking. And she's unlocking the door, and I'm just, you know, flipping through and saying, she says, we get anything? And I said, oh, we got a note from so-and-so. And then I see right away. And I'd make this move. I go, like, take it and just try to be like Houdini. Uh-oh. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to put it behind my back. But even back then, she has, like, eyes in the back of her head.
They all
she
do. Suspected.
So she says, what is that? And I said, oh, that's just, it's junk mail for me. And then she said, no, listen, come on now.
So you tried to deftly hide it, and she caught you right red-handed.
Of course she did. Right. And then she opened it up, and she said, and at first, bless her heart, God, I loved Frida. I still do. She thought it was an error on her part. That's how we went to bed that night.
Oh.
Because she said,
it was early in the relationship.
She said, yeah.
You let her think that.
It was late at night that we had arrived back from our honeymoon, and she said, you know, this has to just be a screw-up with the bank. I'll take care of this tomorrow. So, now what anybody with a set of balls would have done, would have just said at that point, listen, you're going to hate me, but, you know, I don't know what we're going to do to pay for this trip, but I don't have the money, and I gave them the check and wrote in the thing with your... Anyway, no, I don't say anything.
So, you're basically delaying what is the inevitable,
yeah,
right?
So, we go to bed, and it's like she's all happy and stuff because we're married.
Enjoy
and,
it while it lasts.
And, you know, I'm like a time bomb waiting to go off.
And sleepless like, nights. I picture her in quiet slumber with you with your eyes wide open.
Sweating. And it's, you know, the next day. And at that time, I think I'm working the 6 to 10 p.m. shift.
Okay.
At PGC.
Evening.
And Frieda was working at WASH and doing some other stuff. So she had daytime jobs. Mm-hmm. And I had the nighttime job. And she got up and she said, we just lived a little efficiency in Georgetown. She said, I'm going to get out. I'm going to take the car. We only had one car between us. She said, I'm going to take the car and go run my errands. And she said, do you need anything? And I'm thinking to myself, last chance, ass. Mm-hmm. And I say, not a thing. Just need that car back by, you know, by about 4 o'clock to go to work.
Sure. You're thinking at the time you can spend the day scheming.
She says, nope, no problem. I'll see you later. Now, you know, in a way, I'm lucky that, you know, this was before cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
This was before instant message because all I did was sit at home and get ready to, you know, back then. I mean, if you think there's show prep now, back then, here was the show prep. Sit around and watch General Hospital. Really, that's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you just played a box of records and you can only talk for 25 seconds at a crack.
Wasn't a lot to prepare.
That was it. Yeah. You just kind of talked off the top of your head. So I just sat around and, you know, wished to God that I could go to work, but I couldn't until she got back with the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came home, and it was the very first time that I saw the move that I would grow to love. The move that, you know, said, you're a bastard. Because, I hear the key in the door, and I'm just sitting on the couch watching General Hospital. I remember this. Watching General Hospital because it was about 3:15.
Why am I picturing Eric Stoltz from Pulp Fiction?
Anyway, she opens the door.
Are you eating cereal with a bath robot?
But I might as well have been.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm just sitting there ready to go to work and knowing what's going to happen. And she comes in and she shuts the door. And this is where she was just the best at this. It was like, I was ready for it. She said, I went to the bank. I said, yeah. She said, I know what happened. I said, yeah. She said, you know, I didn't have the money to cover that. I said, know that. She said, okay, here are the keys to the car. I love you. Everything's okay. Mm-hmm. But really, I don't want to see you for like a couple of days.
Wow.
You know, and as it turns out, then she just said, that's it. I'm gonna. I said, wait, hold on. Where are you going? You've given me the keys to the car so I can go to work. She said,
the newlyweds.
She said, you know, it's the great thing about being downtown. She said, I'll just walk somewhere. And then I remember something like, that's right. I won't be able to buy anything because we're overdrawn at the bank. Or she'd say, I'm overdrawn at the bank about a check that I didn't know about.
You besmirched her record. Did you say anything?
No, I stood there. I said, you know, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, my mantra. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And so then she came back home and I don't know. She was just jerking my chain. I mean, when I got to work, by the time I got to work,
right.
I walked through the front door at WPGC and Phyllis, the receptionist, lady who looked like Alan Cunningham with a big beehive hairdo, like an Aunt Bee type.
Right.
As soon as I walked through the door, she said, she had a very southern accent. Hey, honey, your wife just called for you. Your new wife just called for you. She must be crazy in love with you. She needs to talk to you. Call her back at this number. So, and I'm like, oh my God, what now?
A little afraid.
What now? And I'm like, I pick up the phone. They call that I don't recognize the number. And it's Frieda. And she says, hi. And she said, I just wanted to let you know, that, you know, I love you and that and that I'm not really going to go away forever, but I'm just so mad at you right now.
Right.
She said, and I want you to know something, that I went into your stuff today. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. She said, your stuff, your collectible stuff. I said, yes, and? She said, great news. I sold virtually everything. I mean, I had, like, comic, like, dumb comic books. And
she sold your stuff.
Yes. And
or she said she sold your stuff.
No, she did sell it.
She really did.
She did, she did sell it. Wow. No, she sold it. She got,
wow.
She got $1,500
wow.
for the stuff that I had, my own personal stuff. Like, there was really ridiculous stuff, like a comic book that was really worth
right.
$300.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, yeah. She went to a comic book store with my vintage comic books. And, you know, I guess, like, walked out with $800 and said to me, so here's what we're going to do. You know, here's the good news that everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like those comics anyway. So now they're gone and there's an extra $400. And I think I'm going to keep that for myself. And your dinner is right there on the table. And now I'm going to go out with my friends and have a good time. And mwah, good night. And she left. And it's like, I sat there, and I'm just inside. I'm like, what is happening? And all of it because, I don't know, I used to do things like that.
Well, it was a good learning experience for you.
That you would think.
Used to.
You would think it was.
Shortly thereafter, didn't you move out to Los Angeles?
Yeah, that's when I bought the car and didn't tell her. I bought a Porsche and didn't tell my wife.
I love that.
Because I had to be like all the other DJs.
Parked around the corner.
Now it's tough, you know, to go to work on a moped.
That's the truth.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
We had a Honda Civic, and it was like a clown car. Uh-huh. It was one of the first Honda Civics.
Right.
Every other DJ had like a Mercedes or a Cadillac or a Porsche.
Hot cars.
And really, I'm not kidding.
You come pulling into the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
I'm not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
We had a moped. Yeah, and the reason that we only had one car and a moped was because I brought with me, what I brought to the relationship besides my charm and the eternal love and devotion and, of course, skill in the bedroom, was perhaps the world's worst credit rating. I mean, you can't imagine the things that I did. Jesus Christ, as you know, I moved out when I was 15 and a half.
Okay. Right.
I'm out of the house. I'm earning more money than my father by the time I'm 18 years old.
Right.
I've got the credit cards coming at me, and this is before the way it is now.
Right.
I mean, it was like everybody was giving me something, and I was just charging, and Frida had the luck of meeting me right when I was just crawling out from under this, when it was like... She said, well, just, I remember one of the first times we were out, and she said something like, well, you know, why do we have to stop at a grocery store to get money?
Mm-hmm.
Because you would cash a check there on the weekend.
She
said, why would you, oh, no, this is not about bouncing a check.
No.
I just would really need money.
Oh.
And she said, why don't you just put it on a credit card? And I would laugh and say, I have a Sears card.
Right. Right.
Sears card. When I get really hard up, I have to drive all the way out to PG County to go to the mall that used to be
Landover
Mall, because Sears had gas pumps at Landover Mall. So I would drive 45 minutes to go fill up with gas because I could put it on my Sears charge card, because that's the only one that I had.
Did you ever get in trouble with a Sears card, or did you pay that one off?
No, that's around the time that I figured out that, along with the help of the federal government,
mm-hmm.
that really you just can't buy and buy and buy and not pay.
And right? Also, when you move from city to city, it's a good idea to maybe tie up some of those loose ends before you move out of town.
Yeah, well, you know, I had some bills following me around.
Sure. And happened a lot, you know, in DJs.
I ain't proud. Yeah. I ain't proud. I turned it around. You know, hey, listen, and look at me now. Thank God for Frida, mm-hmm. and the way things worked out. Look at me now. I'm Mr. Pay bills online. I know every goddamn nickel that I've got. I know where every cent that I have is right now.
And it's funny.
In my shoe. All the money I own is stuffed in the toe of my shoe.
And what's funny is I used to be debt free. Funny how things turn around, isn't
it?
I used to be debt free. It's kind of going in the other direction.
That happens.
That's not my fault, though. It's not my fault, though.
There was a lot of big screw-ups right at the beginning with Frida.
Sure.
You know, and I told you about, I know I've told you about the golf thing. You know, just my bold-faced lie.
Where you said you were a good player and you didn't know how to play at all.
Yes. I mean, they lied right to my future father-in-law's face. You play golf? Play. I was on the high school team.
That's it. That's the lie. I was on the high school golf team.
I've never played golf in my life. Just thought, how hard can it be?
When you said you played on the high school team, you weren't expecting they were going to take you out, right?
No. I was, because I had, like, I did play football and was on the wrestling team, you know, the sports that require no real physical talent. You know, I mean,
and you also in your mind had the theory, how hard can it be?
That's what I thought. If I'm ever really, like, and I didn't know the situation. I didn't know. At that time, I didn't know the guy was like, Les was major into golf. And
right.
Was like, you played every single second of the day that he could. And like, on the very second time that I was going to meet Frida and her parents, it was going to be at her family's country club. And incidentally, we were going to try to squeeze in 18 holes. You know?
Do I golf? I was on my high school team. It's a major award.
You know, I get out there,
whiff,
whiff, whiff, whiff, whiff. And they knew it. You know, they knew it because I would be like, go, you know what? I'm nervous because you're in front of me. Go ahead, play ahead. You know, and they would get ahead and I would throw the ball. Like they didn't know that I was throwing the ball.
You know, that description, when you told that the first time, I just pictured you like in Big Three Stooges, like Knickers. With the cap.
With the big cap. You might as well have been. My camo shanter.
Right, right. Exactly. Right. Big, like, fuzzy ball on top of your head.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that's part of your charm, though.
I guess so, Buzz. Yeah. I don't know. So, when can I smell your fingers?
Next break.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let me see. We do. Oh, gosh.
What Buzz was on the hand team.
Hold on a second. So many. Oh, look at all these calls that they've screened for. So many for Buzz.
Anyway.
So take a sampling of these. I didn't mean to take your time, Buzz. Hello. It says Med Buzz last night. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Buzz?
Yes?
It's Mike from last night.
I thought we had a talk about this.
We're not on the air, are we?
Okay, come on now. Stop it, please. Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Oh, dear.
Oops, hi there.
Hello?
Yes, hi. You're on the air.
Go ahead, ma'am. You have something?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to apologize.
For what?
It was my sister that called before wanting to know where you all were located. I happened to hear her on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And thank you for telling your reporter for it.
Idiot. God. For you and for your sister, too.
Oh, now. Coup de grace.
Pair of pumps.
He was on the phone team in high school. And you're not talking about shoes, are you, Rob?
You see a pair of pumps?
Yeah.
The pump sisters. Hello. Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, hi there.
Don, not to rehash the diet vanilla Coke issue, but you said you switched to a Pepsi product, and I just saw a billboard on Route 5 for diet.
Stop. Hello. I did not say that I switched to a Pepsi product.
So you're drinking the Coke product?
Yes.
All right. Sorry, my mom's from Mooresville.
Bye-bye.
Just listen to learn.
I'm giving you the facts. Doesn't anybody know that there's going to be a written test at the end of the show today?
Sometimes it pays off if you pay attention.
That's true. That's right. Five big ways to win big. Okay. If we do this now.
Yes, then we can do something later.
We're golden.
I'm excited about that.
That's the type of direction that I'm looking for in my producer. Thank you. If we do this now, meaning commercials, we can do something later.
That's great.
You know what I call that? What?
A great tease.
Right there.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Help. I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody.
Living lovers. So Thanksgiving, Don and Mike.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here.
Okay, we just thought of that, please. Where's the other casino table one?
Oh, there it is.
Thank you, Robbie. Mike's going to Atlantic City tonight.
Ah.
In the casino, the cardinal rule is to keep them playing and keep them coming back. The longer they play, the more they lose.
Yep.
In the end,
we get it all.
We get it all.
Yeah, I know. I know, Bobby. Right. It's Bobby D.
Bobby D, color me envious.
You know, I just, as I said to you in the office, just this one weekend, please, just once.
Now, hold on. You know what? I didn't say this to you in the office.
Okay.
You have had weekends.
Yeah.
You have gone to Atlantic City and or Vegas and or other Indian places, and you have won. You have been a big winner.
I'm not going to dispute you.
Big money winner.
Don, I am not going to dispute you.
Your money, baby.
But I'm going to tell you this. I have been on what would be described in some circles as a cold streak.
Mm.
That is what's been my luck recently. I will tell you the last four times that I have visited either some of the finer casinos in Las Vegas or Atlantic City or even Charlestown races in West Virginia.
The cooler.
I will tell you, I have not had the best of luck, and it has been frustrating me. The
only an hour away.
Slots.
Only an hour away. Great news. Only an hour away. Why go to Las Vegas? We got a slot machine in Charlestown, West Virginia.
Plenty of food. All big, you can eat.
Big buffet. All the food touching each other. Italian,
Chinese, and sandwiches.
Jello mold. Penny slots.
I want to win.
You see, they have a...
You know, you mentioned that I have won in the past.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the real truth of the matter, if you add... Let's use even the last 2 years as our time frame.
Okay.
Now, in that 2 years, you know that I've called you. I may have called you when I was down there on one occasion where I had won big.
Yes,
and,
you did.
And I called you because I was so excited. But in the overall picture, if you're talking about, you know, here's the win column, here's the lose column, the overall picture would tell you that the loss column is way the hell up here.
And, all right. So,
which is the way it is for everybody. I mean, for most people. I'm sure there are exceptions to any rule, just like there are people that play lotto and win. But the majority of us, you know, you know, like Robert De Niro says in the movie Casino,
yes.
You lose. That the goal is to keep them playing. And what am I doing? I am continuing to play. I am continuing to play.
Sure.
But I am hoping.
And Mike.
And I'm not being cocky.
Can
I'm not
just
saying
point that. Something else out now that I think about it?
Yes.
You were a big loser when you played poker at my house about 3 weeks ago.
Let's say that's five times then.
Wow.
If we count that, that's five. And that was a significant amount of change that I lost.
Well, there. You lost 60 bucks that day, right?
Did you?
Did I lost about 20.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Why? I don't feel as bad.
I mean, we went through that. I think that, well, that's a shock. Rob was the big money winner.
Shock. Rob won a lot of money.
Buzz lost his money that 60, he came with.
60-something. But I'm glad you mentioned that because it still counts, doesn't it? It still counts. So that counts on the losing streak.
Yeah.
But see, here's a fallacy. It's not because I've had like five losing trips that all of a sudden, hey, this means because of that the odds will be... No, the odds will not be in my favor.
No.
The odds will be just like anything else. I could win, I could lose.
Now... When you're going to do this this weekend.
I don't do what you do and what Rob does. I'm not able to.
Walk
I
away.
Have a limit that I can lose. I do that. That I am smart in that regard. You know, I'm not betting the college fund or anything like
good,
that.
Good for you.
Wink, wink. But
let's say that.
But I do. But I do.
It would depend on the college.
Exactly.
Perhaps if you were in states, maybe.
Uh-huh. When I get excited is if I win when I first get there. Because we refer to that in gambling circles, Don, as house money.
And that's when you should quit.
That's when I should walk away.
If you get there and
but,
you...
But, I mean, what's the point? I'm down there. I want what I enjoy
you
doing when I'm there.
Okay, no. If you go there and you hit a big one right away, you take Barbie out all weekend. I mean, you take Carla out all weekend.
What? Barbie?
What? I meant that as...
As a compliment.
It's a compliment.
I didn't mean Jesus
that,
Christ.
I swear to God, I didn't mean it as a compliment. Like, you know, you got a young, hot... Beautiful chick with you.
True.
If you go to Atlantic City and you win big right away, all you do all weekend then is you're Ken and she's Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, darling, what would you like to eat or drink now?
Shows, shopping.
Let's go to the sauna. Yeah. Let's take a steam.
Dining.
Let's go upstairs.
Look at Ken. He's got gray hair and a little bit of a paunch.
Let's have sex. Then watch a pay-per-view and eat chicken fingers in bed.
That's right. Well, I'm on a diet.
Okay. All right.
And I am sticking to my diet even when I'm there. That's one of the reasons we're going there, because there's something to do. If we were going like out somewhere to anywhere else, the food would be too important.
Ah, true.
Your wallet might lose weight.
I was just saying to Don, I would like to, I will be very honest with the results, good or bad. I won't give specifics, but I will, I will let you know whether it's good, very good, euphoric good, mm-hmm. or whether it's bad, very bad, or OS. And you know what OS is?
Yeah.
And this will happen. OS will be leaving early.
Oh, because
I have done before.
You're planning on staying two nights, right?
Two nights. If it is really bad, there is every possibility that we would leave like at noon tomorrow.
You need to also...
Because I have no choice, because I really don't have a choice.
You'll have to chart it in hunks, because, you can't just do the overall thing. Like, tomorrow morning, then tomorrow afternoon, then tomorrow
night. No, he's not going to do that. Just, him.
I'm not going to do the stupid thing that I did before. I'm not going to do the slot machines anymore.
Good.
Because that really is...
That is the land of the idiot. Come on, that is
no matter what they are, it's the land of the idiot.
Land of the tard.
Even the roped-off slot machine.
As I'm talking, I hate it when I'm talking on the show and I'm saying stuff that I'm not even believing myself.
Mm. Oh, what, you are going to play your Wheel of Fortune slot?
I just love them.
Sure.
I do love them. They're so noisy and fun.
Yeah.
With the bright colors, I get sucked in. And there's no... The odds are so horrible. The odds are so, so horrible. But when you hear, I'm an idiot. That is, to me, the most fun thing that happens in the casino.
You're listening to the mating call of the Omera.
I don't like cards as much as the bells and whistles. Because I also don't like, you talk about social, antisocial. That is where I've become antisocial. I don't dig other people around me when I'm trying to gamble.
But that's the happiest noise there is.
Yeah.
That pulls me in like must be like heroin to an addict.
I know that. See, I'm saying that. That's what worries me now, because I'm saying to you, I'm not going to do the stupid thing, the land of the idiot, and I'm realizing probably the first place I'm going to go.
And you know what? You'll hit a giant jackpot.
And then I'll lose it all.
Instead of just being Ken and Barbie, you'll be Mike and Carla. Hello.
Wah, 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 wah.
Don and Mike show.
What's
Hello.
Up, Radio God?
Hi there.
It is wonderful to hear your voices again. I used to live up in Maryland 15 years ago, and I discovered the podcast.
Oh, all right. Very good.
Yes.
It is a wonderful thing. And I tell you what, I just wish there's a way you could get the whole show on there. I'd actually subscribe.
Do you have a computer?
Yes, I do.
You know we're streaming, right?
Yeah, but I work during the day. I'm just off.
Okay, and whose fault is that?
Why?
Bye!
Yes, God, there it goes. Making a living, getting in the way, listening to this show.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Do we still have the I was touched by Buzz line open? Oh, I thought we had one there.
I guess
we didn't. Many of them agreed not to talk about it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, talking about the Wheel of Fortune machine.
Here's one of your people now, Mike.
What?
Here's one. He said talking about the Wheel of Fortune machine.
Wheel of Fortune machine, yes, sir.
I don't know what happens to me, but they just suck me in. That sound just brings more joy to my life than...
Wait a minute. Wait. No, not a losing streak. I am not on a 5-in-a-row losing streak.
Why is that?
I'm in a 1-in-a-row losing streak.
Okay, bye.
That is your poker game.
Why?
Huh. I won on the casino ship that left Fort Myers, Florida.
See, what? You do gambling that you don't even tell us about.
You forget. You've done it. I do. That means I may have a problem. It's better than the Seminole Casino that was... The inland Florida. We went there.
You tried that one too?
That was more like the raceway, Charlestown.
So when you were on the boat down in Florida, when was this, Christmas time?
Christmas time. Yeah, we won.
Big?
I forgot. No, not big. No, not big. Like $200, which is plenty.
Yeah.
I mean, came out ahead and left.
Okay.
And left. Well, left because the boat was coming into the dock. It gets it, once they come in, they have
maybe
to go. They have to go so many miles offshore so you can gamble. And then when they turned around, you couldn't gamble anymore. So I was almost like forced to discipline myself.
Understood. Well, then maybe all your gambling should be on a boat like that, where you're going to have a time limit.
Yeah,
you know, where you go out for a couple hours and you come back.
Pretty sure we won.
Pretty sure.
What do you mean you're pretty sure?
I think we were up. I think we were up.
What were you playing?
Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of
machine.
Fortune. Retard edition of Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. They had it on the boat. It was great.
Oh, tell you. Yeah. It must have been like heaven, right?
It was. It was great. And they had a nice buffet.
Did it have the smell of old lady all over it?
No.
Because generally when you're walking through a casino, first off, most of them smell like ass anyway.
Some of the people that worked on the ship didn't, the boat, not the ship, the boat didn't have a lot of teeth.
A lot of these casinos smell anyway, smell foul, like feet and ass. But you get over by the slot machine that Mike likes so much, which is so popular.
It's like you're in a lavatory stall.
And listen, it is the one great unifier. I mean, fat, white, black, orange, red, tall, short, young, old, they're all there.
One of the times we were there, we turned in at like 1:30 in the morning. Went upstairs. There was a lady that looked exactly like Doris Roberts from Everybody Loves Raymond, his mother. She was down there. We came back down, went to breakfast, walked around, went to another casino, came back at about 11:30 in the morning. The same lady was there in the same outfit.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how long she had been there. And around her was the smell of perfume covering like a corpse. It was gross.
Wow.
Like the...
But somehow...
Like the guy in the fireplace last night on CSI.
Somehow alluring. Somehow alluring to me. But it's a... And you have camaraderie if you go to the... You know what? I am going to the slots. To hell with it.
Of course you are.
Anybody else watch CSI last night? I know that...
No.
You know, I had a TiVo at the... And I know that you did. You had a business thing, and then you were with Buzz. And, The plot last night on CSI, I'm sorry to get off, but it just made me think about, to get off your topic here for a second, the guy that planted the body in the fireplace, in the chimney, was the father of the girl that was found in the extra part of the house that was built.
Right.
So he went to the morgue and he stole a dead body and he put his kid's ID in there.
Right.
With what, like, with the one in a million shot that they're going to have a fire and smell the decomposing body?
He assumed they would find it, of course. I mean, it's a body up there.
You know, I don't normally get confused by CSI, but I was confused. And then at the very end, he says to Mark Helgenberger, listen, I know that I did a couple of petty crimes here.
Right.
Well, hold on. The dude went to the morgue, right?
Yeah.
And he stole a body, and he climbed up on top of this guy's house.
Why did he steal the body? To cover another crime?
Because this other dude had killed and raped his daughter, and
they
then...
were never able to pin it. He was sure the guy was guilty, but they never proved he was guilty.
Vengeance.
Okay.
Vengeance.
So that it was vengeance or revenge.
Yeah. So he just put a corpse in the guy's chimney?
Yeah.
A corpse that would lead them to the clues that would help them find out that his dead daughter was actually also buried in that house.
And I was also confused by George Eads' hair.
Well, always.
I thought last night it was a little, going back to the 60s, a little like maybe a beetle or a monkey haircut.
Yeah, right. Really,
does that guy change his look for every episode of that show?
I think so.
I mean, it really seems like he's got a mustache in one, he's got a shemp haircut in another one, right?
I read something with, what's her name, with Boobs McGillicuddy. Red. Old Red. Mark Helgenberger.
Yes.
Right. And that's really her role on the show now, is just to come in a low-cut blouse.
Or a tight sweater.
And just jiggle. I got no problem with it.
No. I bet if you saw her in person, she would be amazing looking. As good as she looks on TV,
really?
I bet in person she would look even better.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. I think she might have, like, the Kira Sedgwick factor. Am I getting that name right?
You're talking about the big mouth?
Mrs. Bacon?
Not necessarily the mouth. I don't think she's got...
Kira Sedgwick has a bigger mouth than Julia Roberts.
She does not. Wow. She absolutely does not.
Oh, my God. Kira Sedgwick is one of the big mouth people.
No. Julia Roberts is Billy the Talking Bass.
You really think that Kira Sedgwick has a smaller mouth?
Yes.
I think it's a pretty good race.
I think it's smaller. Maybe they're close. They're in the ballpark. They're smaller. Anyway, here's the point.
Like, widens out.
I've seen her on TV where she's all fixed up on whatever her show is. I've seen it in high def.
And she married to Kevin Bacon?
Right. Mm-hmm. She looked bad. And then I saw her interviewed on some show where she said, And I'm such a regular person. I'm here without a lot of makeup on it. And it was like, oh, my God. Never. I worry about that with boobs McGillicuddy, too.
I think Helgenberger would have been much better looking 5 years ago. I think she's heading towards the wall.
But I did read...
Aren't we all?
I did read...
Not me.
I did read Helgenberger say...
Sometimes he says something, I just looked at him, and he had to say something else after that. He truly did not, Rob. Rob is not hitting the wall.
What did I read about her, though? Oh, that she wanted to change her character's hairstyle as many times as possible in the run of the show.
Really?
So, I read something like where it said, if you look, I've got my hair 8,000 different ways in every episode.
Well, that's what George Eads is doing.
They all do.
She should grow a mustache.
Yeah, hell, they have people on set to do it, so why not?
John and Mike, hello? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me try it now. Okay. You hit that. There you go. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, what's up?
Hey. How you doing?
Yeah.
What's up, yeah?
Hey. Ow! Hey, look, I was calling about CSI. I thought the dude stole the body from the morgue because he worked there. He had access to it.
True. Uh-huh.
And then I thought he put it in the chimney so the Helgenberg check would be able to reopen the investigation.
Yes, but again, what are the odds? I believe I said that he said...
You mean what are the odds of them discovering the body?
Yeah,
I know,
but the dude had
a fire, so the other team was there investigating.
But there was two prongs to it, too, though.
I watched the show. Trust me, it was just... normally on, and come on, it's make believe it's CSI,
right?
Definitely.
But the guy's daughter was never found, so he steals a body and tosses it in this guy's chimney on the thought that they're going to start a fire, then they're going to smell the body, and then CSI is going to be able to come back to the house and find out where, you know. No,
right? Well,
what if the guy decided not to have a fire?
Wouldn't they smell the body anyway because of the rotting corpse?
Well, that could have been because the body had already been burned once.
Now, hold on. There wasn't a lot of decomp.
Don't you remember that they asked the chick that he was with about that, and she said that he has a rat problem in his house and that there were bad smells all the time, and she didn't worry about it.
But also remember, there was two reasons for his throwing the body down. He wanted the father to think that it was his son as revenge. It was pretty twisted last night.
Well, I thought I knew what was going on, but after talking to you guys, I'm more confused.
Thank you. We've done our job.
I didn't see the show, but I'm figuring the guy had to be pretty strong.
Hi!
He threw the body in a chimney. That's not easy to do. I mean, unless you're Santa Claus.
He had to climb up a ladder with a body like in a hefty bag.
Jesus.
Charred bodies are very light, though.
Yes, you should know, Rob.
A lot of the fluid goes away.
That's right.
It's like a swim gym versus a sausage.
Okay, you're in dangerous territory, Mr. Cicoli. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Hey, hi.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
God damn, do I hate you, Buzz.
Really, why?
Oh, no. Now, you see what? He's just goofing you, Buzz.
Yeah, you know he's not sincere.
I think he really does.
I don't like you, Buzz.
No.
Well, that's fine. Even that sounded friendly.
Everybody likes you, Buzz. God damn you. And where are all the women who I was told would call in today and could come out from behind that two-way mirror?
Confidentiality agreements were signed. He brought a stack of them.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Don, I wonder if you remember China Beach, the show about Vietnam. Remember when Mark Helgenberger was on that?
Yeah, well, no, I remember Dana Delaney on that.
Dana Delaney was a POA. Right
on,
man.
Dana Delaney was a POA.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I don't remember Mark Helgenberger on that show, but I'll believe you. Did she look any good?
She played a round eye hoa, you know, that was charging all the officers for, you know.
Oh, really?
She was a hooker.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Okay, good.
Have a good afternoon.
Good info. Thank you, my friend.
I like that.
Bye!
Yeah, here she is.
Bye-bye. Oh, Buzz, would you do a search on the internet?
Yeah, I found a picture of her from China Beach. That's what she looked like then.
Oh, it's just Mark Helgenberger with big 80s hair.
Yeah, big hair.
Yeah, big hair.
Okay.
Vietnam hair.
So speaking of CSI, Buzz, so did you, by any chance last night, drop a body in your chimney?
No. No,
or,
there was,
or in anybody's chimney?
No, there was no need for that.
No body dropping last night?
No.
You know, really, I think everyone should be aware that the nice guy, the quiet guy, you know, there's every chance, if you dug up his backyard, you could find something.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hey, hi there.
I'm from Las Vegas, and I just wanted to say, I don't think anybody ever uses their chimney out here.
Aha!
There you go. Thank you.
Good point.
Bye!
Probably the most brilliant point made today on the show.
Thank you, my friend.
Local angle.
And what else did we not talk about? Yes, I know. Oh, I know what it was. Buzz, when you were doing the news yesterday, I bet you didn't even know that right around the time, everybody knows this already, but right around the time that you were doing the news and we were saying that the NFL free agent thing was going to be last night at midnight at the end of the world, they added on a 72-hour window.
An extension. So they've got the weekend to work this thing out?
Now they got the weekend to try to, as the Beatles would say, come together.
I haven't been reading about this, but what is the why is there urgency if you've got two more seasons anyway? I don't understand why the urgency now.
Because free agency was supposed to start a day ago.
Okay.
And it's got something to do with what the cap number is this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have a deal in place, next year they don't have a cap.
Mm-hmm.
And then the year after that, there might be a strike.
And a lot of guys are renegotiating their contracts now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially like with the Redskins. I know a lot of those guys are doing that.
Yeah. A lot of the guys that, I guess a lot of guys that make a lot of money, but they still make a lot of money either way.
Well,
yeah,
they're restructuring. They're not. I don't think they're giving up money as much as they're moving it around.
I don't know. It's one of those. I'm not really upset about it. But like I said yesterday, when Buzz came on with the news that they had broken off the negotiations, and
Tagliabue was saying this is as bad as it can get.
Yeah,
that's where we left it.
I think I mentioned yesterday at the time. Well, you know, when push comes to shove in any negotiation, you get down to, you know, when your balls are really right, just being in the vice. Yeah, they'll work it out.
I think they will. It's like because if the players are restructuring their contracts, that's helping the team.
Right.
Just like what we offer CBS every year, to restructure our contract to help the team. How else do you think they were able to bring in the stable of talent they brought in? You know, sometimes you got to think of the big picture.
That's right. You got to spend money to make money.
There you go, as always. Mike O'Meara, thinking of others first. That's what I love about you, baby.
What I do.
He does. That's
what I love about you, baby.
What I do.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Mike.
Hey.
Hello.
Mike.
Yes, my friend.
Hey, buddy. I got your traffic light for you. When do you want it?
Anytime you want to drop it off.
Well, the guy that answered the phone yesterday hung up on me a bunch of times and said that you didn't want it, so I didn't know.
No, I do want it. Yeah,
you do want it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be good for your place.
Drop it off anytime.
Monday, I'll bring it up during the show. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you. Look forward to it.
Even better, why not just hide in the parking lot?
I'll be depressed Monday, so look forward to getting a gift.
Maybe you'll be a winner, Mike. Come on.
Yeah, maybe. Who's the big winner in the casino?
Mikey wins.
You are.
Yeah. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
That's the first time that somebody's committed a crime and didn't get arrested.
Oh, on CSI?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and again, that's why I was confused by this episode, because he's sitting in the room with Helgenberger,
mm-hmm.
and he's saying, well, at the very worst, all he did was a petty crime.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's a lot worse than a petty crime.
I think he was in the process of being arrested. They cut it off before he got arrested.
It sure did look like she was about to take him out to lunch. They're going to go to IHOP.
IHOP
exactly.
And arrest.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
See you, Mike.
IHOP and then to jail.
Bye-bye. Oh, and Mike, this is for you.
We just go, please. We go. Hey, look at me. Look at me. Your money. You know what else? You're a big winner tonight.
You're a big winner.
You're a big winner. I'm going to ask you a simple question. I want you to listen to me. Who's the big winner here tonight at the casino?
Mike O'Meara.
Huh? Mikey, that's who. Mikey's the big winner.
Mikey wins.
I'm toast. I am so jinxed by that.
Mike O'Meara, big winner.
I am so jinxed by that piece of tape.
Watch the 11 o'clock news.
Screw you, Vince Vaughn.
It's going to be regionally popular disc jockey sets world record. And it'll be Mike up there on TV just saying he wants to buy a chocolate pie a mile wide.
Do you know how often I have fantasized about being one of those pictures on the wall next to the escalator?
The whole Judy Garland thing kind of turned me on. Does that make me some kind of fag?
Oh, maybe your money.
I don't think she liked me anyway.
Oh, Mike, I'm telling you, man. She thought you were money.
Yeah, Mike.
I heard him both talk.
Both those girls thought you were money.
Don't think she liked me enough. Baby, you are so money, and you don't even know it.
I'd settle this weekend for the PT Cruiser.
Oh, a car?
The one that circles up above the little kiosk.
Rotates on the turntable.
It's so exciting.
It's yours, donkey. Here's your money.
Money.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is what you do. Go to Rotterdam, then you go to Amsterdam, then you go down the road to my city. That's right. It's a little place called I Don't Give a Damn.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I'm a funny guy, but I don't think that's funny.
All right, Bill.
You going to try to do that with me? Because I'll get all over you.
Calm down.
Try to do what with you?
Are you a prostitute?
Yes.
Are you a drunk?
Yes.
You've been drinking today?
Yes. Yes. Was that for you or for me?
I guess we both answered at the same time.
You are in denial.
Me or him?
Bill?
Me or Mike?
Bill. If you don't take another drink today, you're going to be drunk for 6 months.
Well,
you are drunk at a tissue level.
It's me.
Okay.
The bleaching keeps them pink. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Trading sex for alcohol and cigarettes.
That's me. How does he know so much about him?
I don't know.
He's Dr. Phil.
You just don't value yourself enough. The fact that you would let them touch you is disgusting, and Mike, I don't want you to ever do it again the rest of your life.
Can't guarantee that, Phil.
I'm going to jerk a knot in your tail.
Now listen, I thought that was something we didn't talk about.
That's threatening.
Now we're talking.
Fleeting.
Not.
Dr. Phil.
Totally fleeting.
K-N-O-T. Not N-O-T. K-N-O-T. A knot.
Phil.
Just a little knot.
Phil?
Let's see. Oh, on our webpage, DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great website.
Award-winning.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob. We got pictures up there today.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that maybe you've heard of. It's this, this Russian guy, like all of them, like virtually every white guy in the NBA now.
Okay.
Russian, Ukrainian, Yugoslavian, mm-hmm. Croatian, something like that.
Right.
Anyway, guy plays for the Utah Jazz,
mm-hmm.
and his name is Andrei Kirilenko. I hope I'm getting that correct.
I believe you are.
You just wiggle your finger.
He has a relatively hot wife.
Yes.
And she's from Russia.
Okay.
As he is.
Russian women are beautiful.
Let me just say, wife, perhaps, of all time.
All time.
Really?
Perhaps the wife of all time.
Really?
Dream wife.
What is she doing?
She understands what it's like to be an American athlete
mm-hmm.
and to be on the road. And once a year, not as a sitcom gag, not as a prank,
uh-huh.
once a year, she allows him to bang somebody else.
Wow.
All he has to do is tell her about it.
Well, and there's got to be something attached to that.
She. I'm just telling you, best wife ever. That's a picture of him, and he looks like a typical dumb, you know, Russian basketball player. And then take a look at her. Not bad.
She looks nasty. She looks nasty, and I mean nasty in the best possible way.
Yeah, a Russian pop star she was.
She looks fun.
Yeah.
She looks fun. I believe that these two have been three. Yeah, I think that just screams threesome. Looking at those two, that just screams people in an airport lounge somewhere just going, "Why don't you come up to bedroom?"
Finally, a woman who understands.
Uh-huh.
Finally. Oh, and then also on our webpage, we have a picture of Jack Wilde, who passed away.
Yes.
He was Oliver in the movie Oliver, and also on H.R. Puff and stuff. And we only.
Oh, I'm a fag. The artful, he was the artful dodger.
Right, yeah. And Oliver. We're only really putting a picture up so we could post a picture of him as he was in his later days.
Yeah, last day.
As you can see.
Oh, my God.
He has like what I like to call LRS, Little Rascal Syndrome.
Yeah.
Wow. Where it's the little boy that even though he becomes full size, still appears to be a munchkin.
Right. He would have been good in, like, Lord of the Rings or something.
Very thirsty.
Oh, HR like, puffin' stuff.
Oh, he's an alky?
Well, only for, like, 20 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Alleged. allegedly, here now is Jack Wilde expert, Joe Arzinger.
I just saw him on a Where Are They Now VH1 thing, and yeah, he was
probably in a cemetery.
No, he was a lifelong alcoholic and drug addict. So.
Wow.
Here's to Jack.
He doesn't even look recognizable. He looks like an old woman.
Thanks for the tip in, Joe.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Simon.
Telling me.
So cruel.
Where did you get that one?
From any episode of American Idol.
That's a new one. We haven't played it out.
That was horrible.
Now everybody's going to get reviewed.
Yeah.
Okay, the Oscars this weekend.
Right.
We're not going to do the dumb thing about picking our favorites and all the other... No, sorry, Buzz, we're not.
All right.
However, I do want to tell you just about what a giant jerk-off Tom Hanks is.
Oh, good.
What now? Really. Now, first off, he is the butt boy for the Academy Awards, mm-hmm.
right?
Because he believes the hype now that he's our generation's Jimmy Stewart or whatever greatest actor
that's
of all time.
That's the ink that he gets.
Mm-hmm. And incidentally, have you seen his brand new faggot haircut for the movie that I guess is already wrapped, but he still loves wearing it? I don't know how to describe it. It's a combination of David Cassidy and Superman.
Really?
With a little Billy Ray Cyrus.
Okay, all right.
It's almost a very long mullet, and he has a big Superman S curl in the front of it.
What is he doing now? Because he has been in the serious business of being him for some time.
All right, so the Academy Awards are this weekend, and they want very desperately for the show to be on and gone in less than 3 hours.
I know.
This will not happen.
No.
You know it, I know it, right. Everybody knows it. They think that what they want to do is tell the people that win, you have 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we mean it.
Right.
And they, you know, in previous years, maybe even last year, they played music while someone was talking.
Right.
And
yep, they do that.
Try to get rid of them. They came up with a new idea this year. They went to the butt boy, Tom Hanks.
Right. Oh, good.
Said, Tom, would you please make a DVD for your fellow celebrities that will tell them how to act and how to react when they win an Oscar.
And he was full enough of himself to do it?
Now, hold on a second. I only wish I had a copy of it. I don't. We hope to have a copy by next week.
Okay.
We received this information from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. They sent a copy of the Tom Hanks DVD to every one of the 150 people who got nominated for an Academy Award.
All right.
On the DVD, Tom Hanks sits inside the Kodak Theater, and here are some of his quotes.
Uh-huh.
He's here to guide you through the moment with wit. And this is now Tom Hanks speaking about, so I'm going to read it now. I'm Tom Hanks.
All right. Okay.
This is what Tom Hanks says to the prospective nominee.
Right. Okay.
First, congratulations and welcome to a very exclusive club.
Oh, God.
I'm here to guide you through the moment. With wit, flair, creativity, or at the very least, with brevity.
That's Tom.
Then Tom Hanks goes on and reminds everybody that they have to have their speeches wrapped up in 60 seconds. And this is where, according to, was it Variety, where it is, there's a very cheap, they said like a car dealership, flashing on the bottom of the screen, no more than 60 seconds.
Oh,
so they got a graphic up for the celebs.
It's just so jive for a previous winner to be doing that.
Then Tom Hanks says, and again, quoting him now as he's talking to the people,
right.
Those of you in winning teams, take my advice. Designate one member to do all of your talking. And very important, please hear me on this. Lose the list. Don't come to the podium with 1,000 names to read.
Huh.
And most importantly, again, this is a quote from Tom Hanks on the DVD.
Right. Yeah.
Maximize your moment. There is a reason I'm on this DVD talking to you.
Yeah.
You've been nominated for an Academy Award. I've won one.
Of course. Welcome to my club.
This goes hand in hand with not using a list. If you're lucky enough to win, and we're all winners because we're nominated.
Oh, God.
But if you're lucky enough to win, say something memorable. You've devoted your passion and your dreams to the entertainment industry. So use a little of the Oscar-winning creativity to make your speech entertaining.
Right.
Thanks for watching. I'm Tom Hanks.
Uh-huh. Sanctimonious bastard.
Now, can you imagine if you are Don...
I wonder how much he had to do with, like, if, the writing of that.
If you're Don Cheadle, mm-hmm. or Jake Gyllenhaal, or...
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Capote guy.
You have to watch.
George Clooney. Anybody. You get your nomination, and then you go, oh, what's this? Oh, it's a DVD from Tom Hanks. And it's basically Tom Hanks.
Sounds like the CBS lawyers wrote that. It really, really does. When did he just lose it? When did he really start believing his own press?
The back-to-back Oscars.
Was it the back-to-back Oscars?
Yeah.
I thought it was Bosom Buddies. He was so beloved, and then he just turned into this advocate.
I don't know. We hope to have a copy of the actual DVD. I'm sure it's going to be, parts of it will be leaked, like on Entertainment Tonight and
good.
Stuff. But we've been told that maybe we'll have a copy next week for you.
How many actors do you think really went, oh, F you?
Oh, everybody.
Right.
Are you kidding? Well, first off, you have to think of the entire cast of the movie Crash.
Okay.
Because they're all young enough and relatively hip enough. I mean, even Sandra Bullock, who has a role in Crash. I got to think that she's looking at that going, oh, come on, Tom, please. Eat one.
You know what I'd like to see, seriously? I'd like to see, because there have been lots of articles about what to do at the Oscars, how to behave. That's a big theme this year, and they all say don't read the list. I'd love to see somebody, like, get this just insane list and start reading names.
Up and hold on. I'm running out of time. Let me just tell you that Hilary Swank, that's a man, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Hilary Swank and Chad Lowe are staying together, man.
Thank God.
Oh, what a relief.
Guess why?
Why?
They're not doing it for themselves. This is going to make you feel guilty.
Okay.
Why do you think they're staying together?
The children?
No.
Do they have children?
No.
I don't think they do. What are they staying together for?
They're animals.
They're pets. Doggies and kitties.
Yeah. Well, what an idiot.
They have parrots, dogs,
uh-huh.
cats,
right.
and rabbits. They're worried about how the animals are going to react. So they've put out a press statement announcing they're staying together.
Okay, consider the guilt trip laid on me heavily.
That was horrible.
That was.
You're telling.
My
God. Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello. Oh, come on. Hello.
Don't panic.
McFly. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
How y'all doing today?
Another one of our great on-screen calls.
Mm-hmm.
Hi there, we are doing fine. How about you, friend?
I'm doing good. I just wish I could hear your show.
Me too.
Yeah, it's a shame you can't. Why'd you call?
Because I just wonder if it's technical difficulties or if you've been taken off my channel.
Where are you calling from? What channel do you listen on?
105.7, Baltimore.
In Baltimore?
Ah. So they've taken that channel off the air? What's on that channel today?
Hold on, let me check in the back room. Let's see if we've received any calls of trouble from our channel in Baltimore. Hello, Johnny?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Do we have any problems on our channel in Baltimore?
Not that I'm aware of.
Huh.
You heard anything, Joe, about Baltimore?
Well, we've gone off, but it's right before 5 o'clock. There might be a basketball game or a dog show or, I don't know,
That's it. You heard it from Joe Artinger. We've been preempted for a dog show.
Or hamster racing. Are you hearing something on your radio besides us?
Yeah, right now there are commercials. You were talking about the Grammys and Tom Hanks.
No, that would be the Oscars. Close enough, yes. I'm sure it's what Joe just said. I'm sure it's like a dog show or something.
You got a big dog show going up in Baltimore today?
Or, you know,
not that I'm aware of. Over on the Eastern Shore.
It might really be like something dopey like Maryland's basketball team. I don't know. Either way.
That was horrible.
I'll do a check, see what I can find.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye!
Bye-bye.
It was an informative call. Uh-huh. A helpful call.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Helpful to the broadcast.
Always like getting that news. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hi. Hey, with regard to your new fart sounds, did you also notice not only must they be fleeting, but did you happen to observe that Fleet is a brand of enemas as well?
I believe that might have been brought up yesterday. On yesterday's show.
I said that.
Bye.
Too bad you missed it.
As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. Goodbye.
But you can't argue with that product. That is a fine product, Fleet.
And now, speaking of, here is the human enema.
And Jack Wild spokesperson,
Joe Arthur. Hi, Joe.
I've heard that the Lady Terps are on your way in Maryland this afternoon.
You're freaking kidding me.
That's the latest.
The Terpettes.
And it's not even like the WLBA.
No, it's the WCLBA.
College Lesbian Basketball Association.
Right. Tortoises with panties.
Wonderful.
Wait a minute. That's right.
They're taking us off in Baltimore at 5 o'clock on a Friday for ladies' college basketball.
That was horrible.
Yes.
Was horrible.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Of course. Of course you expect anything else.
That was horrible.
Don't even have a comment on
there must be a pregame show.
Yeah.
I'd like the autograph of those broadcasters.
I bet it's a dynamite show. So, what do you think?
Oh, you know, I forgot to tell you. You know who was on the premises last night for Buzz's big big judging, celebrity judging?
Who's that?
Our good friend Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
What brings that up?
Hello.
Hey, you guys are on up here in Baltimore. I'm sitting here. You're on up in Baltimore.
All right, now hold on a second. See, this is why it's awful to get conflicting information.
Yeah, I'm up here in Baltimore, Don. You're on.
Okay, live 105, we're on.
Yeah, 105.7. I'm listening to it. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye!
There's no pregame for that ladies basketball, though, because the show's normally hosted by Jack Wild.
Well, shut up. Just step away from the microphone, really.
Jack Wild.
Hello.
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 I'm just looking for somebody with some real information, and, you know, Shecky on Friday wants us to be open mic day. You know, sorry, Rob. It's been a long freaking week. Really? I'd rather have you just work on help make the show good rather than just, like, get in a competition to see how many words you can say. Hello.
Hello. I don't know what's happening at 5 o'clock in Baltimore, but just a few minutes ago when you were talking about the Oscars, it sounded like alien interference.
Okay, so if we're keeping track
now,
Don, we have three options here. We are on in Baltimore. We are being preempted for women's basketball on the college level and space creatures.
See, Mike is space creatures. My concern is that Joe comes in and announces this, and then I go through my whole thing about saying that. And rather than looking into it as a producer, I would hope would, you know, he's standing there ready to make his 1960s throwaway Catskills line, you know, because it's Friday, you know.
He played the Catskills. He did play. He was good in those Catskills. Those suits are in the Smithsonian.
They are.
You know, that's the perfect level for you.
What's that?
Right there.
Okay.
You see how far away you are from that microphone?
I do.
That's like perfect. That's the magic of you.
But you haven't banished him to the 60-second timeout.
No. This is just to talk about just like 3 or 4 feet off the microphone, unless it's something great like screaming at a lady or calling her a whore, a pump or something, then jump on up.
Okay.
Well, you know, with that distance from the microphone, nobody's better at it because he can bellow if he needs to.
I know.
We hear him perfect.
Jack Wild!
It makes it funny.
He doesn't need a microphone. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, you guys are on up in Baltimore. They were just having, like, signal trouble, so they sent you to, like, a commercial, but you guys came back in, like, 2 or 3 minutes.
Fourth option.
Okay, thank you.
Signal.
Bye!
Signal trouble, space creatures, women's basketball.
Well, then, I
forgot the other one.
Got to ask again in the back room, why did Joe come in with the erroneous information? Right?
Well, let's find out.
Hello?
So as it turns out, we've not been taken off for women's college basketball.
My bad. I listened to a caller.
Joe.
Yeah. I listened. That almost sounded like Scott Shannon.
Yeah.
I listened to a caller.
All right, Joe.
And the caller was wrong. What a surprise.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Wow. It's Friday. No, it's not.
Yes, it is, Mike.
Yeah. Today?
Yeah. All day.
All day.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Come on.
Come on, people.
No, it's the phone thing. People. Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello?
Speak to us. Yes, what?
Happy radio.
Yes, it's you. Speak. Sir, you on the phone.
Mr. Dumas.
Caller.
No, not today. Not today.
Not to, that was not today,
today,
dog.
Not today.
A little stask.
Not today.
Hot picket callers.
Yes, now, up. Hold on, and he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. I would ask Joe to do something about it, but, you know, what the hell. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, could Mike maybe tell Joe that you are on in Baltimore with a megaphone?
No, now,
but Mike
come on,
tells
no.
Joe with a megaphone.
No, no, I'm not doing that.
Bye!
I don't want to do that again.
Open up the old
just
wounds.
Gotten out of that hole.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh.
Hole.
Hello. You are on the air.
Oh. Howdy, boys. I believe those were sunspots you were hearing. That would be the alien slash signal trouble.
Sunspots.
Okay, thank you. Everybody's calling with stuff that I think, isn't that a possibility, Buzz, sunspots?
It's not really that time of year yet, but maybe.
It's that time of, it's not that time of year.
In May and October.
But it is that time of the month.
He's high.
He's high. He's
well,
high.
Yes, but still, it's May and October.
He's high and he's all sexed up.
He is.
Uh-huh. You know, I just have a feeling right now that everybody's just like, talking who shouldn't be talking. No offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's to you, Mike, of course. You always have the
of course.
The open mic. I just feel like I've lost control. Mm-hmm. Just for a moment here, totally lost control of the show. It's like, you know, Joe's doing his thing. Rob's doing his thing. Buzz is doing his thing. Mm-hmm. All the callers are doing their thing.
Right.
I've totally lost my place in the show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've totally lost my spot.
I can't tell.
Sorry about that.
Now,
if it's any consolation, I really, look, I know I sit over here, but I really could tell if you had completely lost control of the show.
Now you're pointing what, like commercials?
Yeah, we should.
We should?
Yeah, I thought you were.
Now, what he was doing was being very producerly there. Yeah,
I know. He was being good. He was being a good boy.
He was being very, very good.
Very good.
Look at his face.
Didn't say a word.
Just take a good look at his face for a second. Really, if you want to, if you want to get in a better mood,
look at
him.
Yeah. Really. I've been a great
See,
movie.
I have the advantage of seeing him nonstop, 5 days a week. I am looking at that billboard-sized face. There you go. That's all.
Listen, nobody loves that face more than me.
I know that. I understand.
I just know what's best for this radio show. Mm-hmm. What's best for this radio show is for that face not always to be right on that microphone like this.
See, when you say that now, look, he makes sad face.
Oh, God. Rob.
Oh.
Rob, sad face. Rob, sad face. We have to put it on the internet.
Break a heart.
That was horrible.
That was. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, I get it. You're joking. Well, I've got a sense of humor. I laugh at Tony Danza. Of course, if you aren't joking, I feel bad and I apologize.
I laugh at Tony Danza.
I laugh at Tony Danza. I laugh at Tony Danza.
All right, that's it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Here's the deal.
On the other side of the fleshy fun bridge, you will find the Don and Mike Show.
You want to get to the Friday favorite, which we will. Two full statements of that. Nice big full segment of Buzz. All this neck stepping.
Yes.
That means we have to have a slightly shorter segment right here. And this is why we're going to spin the gigantic wheel of people. There it is. Look at this list.
Filled with people.
And Mike, this will get you ready again.
Yes.
For the smell of ass and feet in Atlantic City.
Ah, I'm very excited.
With the Wheel of Fortune music. And the Wheel of People.
Yeah. The Wheel of People.
Who's in there? Our wheel today. Let's see. Well, we do have, of course, my family. We've got my kid, Bart. I only put him on the wheel because the last I heard, he's thinking about getting his fourth tattoo.
Really?
This weekend. Then I have Amy on there just to see what's happening with her, my daughter, and the grandkids.
Right.
Then I have my Earth Dog brother,
right,
who I have not spoken to since before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Not because I'm mad or anything. It's just
right.
I don't know what's going on with him.
Uh-huh.
Then I've got George McFly,
right,
who you should know. I just read is changing jobs again.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Where's he going?
From a station radio. He's a disc jockey that Mike and I know. Nice. He's going from a radio station in Denver to one in Colorado Springs.
A lateral move.
Then I've got my next door neighbor, Big Ed.
Yeah,
I tell
you, that would be a debut.
And I have got former colleague and, again, disc jockey, Mike Beach.
Ah, to me, that is the wild card of wild cards.
And you know what, this is predetermined to a large extent, of course, since we don't really have a wheel.
Yes, thanks.
Go ahead and pick one. Who would you like to talk to?
The wheel stopped. I have to go with the wheel stopped on your neighbor, Big Ed.
Big Ed.
Good. Good choice. I'm glad you chose that. Well, you know, I like the debuts. I like
all these
never
people are aware that they will be on the air.
I'm good.
That is if he's home.
We've heard good things about Ed, Don's next door neighbor. Military man.
Mm-hmm. Big Ed, my next door neighbor. The guy that helps me, like, when my dog shows up with a deer head in its mouth.
Right. We're sorry. The person you are calling does not wish to talk with callers who block their number.
Of course,
well,
Ed.
He's got the technology. Mm-hmm. He has the technology. Mm-hmm. I somehow am picturing an Arlie Ermey voice.
Yeah, me too.
No, he's not. Remember, the celebrity I told you remember, he most resembles is that actor, and he speaks like him as well. Frank
Langella.
Frank Langella.
Ah, yes. Kind of a
very slow, deliberate, mm-hmm. however, tone of voice that says, I could kick your ass at any moment.
Gotcha.
Even at his advanced age, which is not that advanced.
No.
Is he a big guy? I'd say 6'2".
Oh, so he's not small. Does it take him a while to get to the phone?
No, not Ed, no. I mean, if he's not there, he ain't picking up. No. Okay, that's... Ed doesn't believe in answering machines. Mike, we're going to have to spin again.
That's stupid.
Okay. Sorry about that. Again, your choices are Bart.
Going now?
Your choices, Mike, are Bart, Amy, Jimmy, George McFly, or Mike Beach.
You pick this time.
No, you pick.
I'll pick again. I'll go with George McFly.
George McFly.
Again, an excellent choice. But after that last spin, the cold streak continues.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, maybe I'll get lucky this time.
We're trying George McFly. This jockey friend of ours, we've not spoken to him in a month of Sundays.
Hello?
George?
Yes.
It's Don and Mike.
Hello, George.
Guys, what is going on?
It's the Wheel of People, George, and we just landed on you.
Your name was on the wheel, George.
On the wheel of what?
Wheel of People.
Oh, okay. People that you haven't gotten around to call in a year.
Yes. Right. Correct.
How are you? Where are you, George?
You would not believe this, but I am driving 75 miles per hour in a 75-mile-per-hour zone moving to Colorado Springs from Denver.
Wow. I just told Mike and everybody listening, I just read today online that you got a gig. You left the station in Denver, and you got a gig at the station in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, well, I was doing nights. You know, I was doing late nights in Denver, right. You know, 7 to midnight. And when you're 42 years old, and you went through what I went through, and I'm alone all day, and then you walk into the radio station, and everybody leaves, and I'm alone all night, it's something I couldn't even handle anymore. So, yeah, I'm going to go do afternoons.
Oh, afternoons. That's a great shift.
Yeah, that's why I'm going from Denver to the Springs, you know, plus it's like one of the only few stations in the country that'll probably still have me, you know?
Now, George, what is new with you personally and professionally? Let me see. Personally, I know that the marriage was what it was, but how are things with you and the ex, and how are things with you and your daughter?
Everything is. Thanks so much for asking. Me and Joan, I'm the happiest divorce guy ever. Okay. I know we say.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Mike O'Meara.
Mike is.
All right, Mike?
Things are going very well, yes. Very well.
And Emma's turning 13 this April. So Joan, my ex-wife, she lives with a nice guy. I don't know, probably in his upper 40s in Fort Collins, which is an hour north of Denver. And they both manage Jason's Deli, which is a franchise deli delicatessen.
So you're.
And,
how far are you away? I mean, how far is Colorado Springs away from Denver, George?
I'm driving there for the very first time. I heard it's an hour.
Okay, it's an hour. So you're close enough where you can see your kid and stuff.
Yeah, oh, you betcha. It's only a 2-hour drive.
Okay.
I took this job sight unseen because I.
Because you're George.
5 months ago, I was doing my show and I was browsing those Yahoo personals, you know?
Yes.
But I didn't subscribe. I never subscribed. But, you know, you could punch in what you're interested in, and, you know, I thought I'd try my hand at that.
Right.
So I punched in what I was interested in, and everything. I got real specific, I mean, to the eye color. And one girl popped up, one, and she was absolutely gorgeous. So I got out my credit card, and I joined just to email her once to say, look, I don't have a profile. Here's my website and my radio station. Here's who I am, and please don't think I'm bragging, but, you know. I got all my pictures up on the website. So she emailed me back, and we met on my 42nd birthday in September, and she is about 5 miles ahead of me right now driving to the spring.
That is a happy ending.
Congratulations on that. That's a happy ending.
So you are now with a chick that you met on the Internet.
And
you're happy.
Yeah, she's the coolest. She's, you know, 32 years old, and she inspires me. Well, put it this way. I love the way she loves me. And being a needy guy, because I am, I'm admittedly Elvis-like in my neediness and inability to be responsible at all.
Yeah, you're getting no complaints on that from either of us.
Right. You know, but what I really, you know, after my divorce, I didn't realize I couldn't even tie my own shoes.
Hey, is her name Beth Ann?
Why do you have one of those?
No, she sounds like someone we used to know.
She may be pretty, but can she manage a deli?
She can never manage a deli.
Have you given her an enema?
Yes, I actually have.
Oh, my. Oh, of course. Nice. It's love.
As soon as I met her, we got colonics from Judy Quarter here on Bannock Street in Denver. Plug. She's an amazing lady. But the colonic, it aggravated something in her cilia. Something happened where now she needs to go through a parasite cleanse because she has, what's it called? Giardia.
Oh, dear. That's a lie. Who is the celebrity she most resembles, George?
Jennifer Aniston, hands down, period.
Wow.
Jennifer Aniston, you're kidding me.
No, really? Uncanny. And if I get permission from her, because she's a little strange that way, I'll email you a picture. It's, you know, a little risque, but that's the way it is with these young 30-year-olds.
Yeah. Are you serious? Would you get your girlfriend to pose topless?
Well, more than that, but, you know.
It sounds like she's already done it. I mean, do you have a naked picture of her?
Yeah, I have plenty. Lots and lots of.
Now you know, George, I can watch it now and I wouldn't even have to feel guilty. You know what I'm saying?
No, but what I do is I send you like one picture of her clothes, you know, just to see how pretty she really is. And then like every week I'll send you something with another piece of article of clothing off or something.
That rocks.
All right. George, I'm glad you came up on the Wheel of People. This had to be a short segment, so we're going to have to cut you off now, but let's talk again very soon.
I got my guitar in the trunk if you want me to pull over right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, George.
Go ahead.
I love you guys. Please keep in touch.
Of course, George. That's why you're in the Wheel of People.
God bless you guys. Thank you so much, man.
No, God bless you, George.
And good luck in Colorado Springs, George.
George, you're a good friend.
Mike, thanks, Don.
You're a good friend. You're a good guy, for God's sake.
Thank you so much. I love you guys.
Is that his picture from the website?
I think so,
Look at that. Somebody here went on the website, and you're cleaned up.
You don't have the long hair anymore.
No, man, but I tell you, you know, I don't do anything anymore. There's no drugs. I drink. I don't drink absinthe like Mike, but, you know, I drink some beer.
All right. George, are you pulled over? Can you play something for us?
Oh, were you serious?
Yeah. He's not serious.
I do have my guitar in the trunk, but I'm just flying right now.
He's going 75.
Yeah. All right, Georgie, well then, we'll talk to you soon. And, you know, best of luck, and everybody always wants to know what's going on with you. And it sounds like, as opposed to, I think, the last time when you were on the show, when you were living in front of your mom and dad's house in your car.
That was a bad time.
When they wouldn't let you in, it sounds like you've turned everything around.
Oh, guys, just like it's like 1989 when I first met you guys all over again, but without anything, without just the craziness, the gambling. There was always something with me. And now I'm not settled down, really. I'm still kind of hyper and passionate and alive, and I got a young girlfriend who's so sexy and hot, and I want to talk to you guys about that a little bit later, about we do get a little strange, you know?
Good for you.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we can always find time for that.
There he is. He lives. He's George McFly.
All right, George.
He's George.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Bye, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
You know what? Night and day from the last time we talked to him.
Well, you know,
even the last time we talked to him a short time ago, where he was kind of down.
He's bipolar.
Wow.
He is bipolar.
Very much so.
He is George.
And how about that? The new lady, Jennifer Aniston, look-alike.
And how about that? I'll send you some naked pictures. Sure.
Something to look forward to.
Now, oh gosh. Let me just try, just because, just to say hello.
Uh-huh.
Let's try Mike Beach.
Okay.
As long as we're on the DJ hotline.
This should be interesting. We worked with Mike Beach an extremely long time ago.
21 years ago.
I spoke with him 3 weeks ago. He's unemployed right now.
Oh, dear.
Left. You know. Anyway, we'll tell the story about him and the PM, the hold on a second, the license plate that he had for his car. Hold on, before we call him back. The license plate, here was the story with this guy. This poor guy did the middays at our radio station, and Mike and I did the morning show.
Right.
We got moved to mornings. They moved him to afternoons. He had personalized tags for his car.
Right.
That said PM Drive.
Mm-hmm.
He had a big old Cadillac. And on the day that he pulled into the parking lot with those license plates, they fired his ass.
PM Drive. And he had like, didn't he have like a Cadillac that had been used by Jimmy Carter? He did, I swear to God. When he was governor, or something like that. He'll tell us if we get him online.
I hope so.
Oh, no.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
This happened.
Now, hold on. I swear to God, I talked to this guy 2 weeks ago.
Right.
They make sure I am not misdialed.
Yeah. Could have been that. Let's see what happens. Like Tim Parakeet. Another kooky crazy call is a copyrighted feature.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Oh, boy.
If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again.
That means the electricity, too.
Yeah, well, we'll put him back in the hopper. And next time we do Wheel of People, who knows?
As sad as that was, George McFly is in a good spot in his life right now.
Good to hear.
And it's because of, you know, the woman. So that's a good thing.
Good to hear. And good to hear that they're taking enemas together.
Yes, yeah, but unfortunately she had a bad turn. I don't know what the hell that malady she had was.
Me either.
Ganglia.
And how about him? How about that picture of him? Now, I'll say this about the picture. He does look more normal.
More responsible.
Doesn't he still look all roided up?
Yeah, he looks crazy.
Doesn't he still look like Jose Canseco with like 1,000 steroids? It's like a combination of Jose Canseco. You know what it is? It's like if Matt Damon became the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, it's kind of that big teeth with eyes that look like they're just going to absolutely shoot out of his head.
Crazy eyes.
Like if you walked up and you tapped him on the forehead, they just go...
The crazy eyes.
As always, the Wheel of People, a mix of sweet and sour.
There you go. Got a break, and when we come back, it's nothing but sweet. Nothing but sweet.
Like sweet tea.
We'll be right back.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Open a bottle of Behringer. It's how to get to Napa Valley. More recipes at Behringer.com. Behringer Vineyards, Napa, California.
Yeah.
Show.
How you doing, Pump?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. They're great. It's like a marrow transplant for your funny bone. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, the Friday favorite is here. You heard us reference this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's big news in the National Enquirer.
Yes.
About Clay Aiken.
It's the income now on JFK with cash for you and me.
Well,
it's time for Don and Mike to play.
He's been on homo websites and he's been stripping on webcams.
That's what we hear.
What's all the fuss about?
What is all the fuss about, seriously?
How are you?
Hey, Clay.
Hello, dear heart. It's me once again, Clay Aiken. How are you all? Y'all having a good time?
Uh-huh.
I think this is such a silly fuss that people are making about this. I don't understand why everybody's making such a big deal about the fact that I was just on a few man-on-man websites, and I showed myself, which you're supposed to do on some of them,
right.
And people are really upset about it and getting all uptight and getting their feathers all in a ruffle over nothing. Don't you understand? This is just silly stuff. This is silly stuff, and now listen to this. Why don't people think about my singing as opposed to all the other things? Listen, please. This is from a Clay Aiken Christmas
collection. Did you just
say
make the Yuletide gay?
Yes, that's the lyric of the song. Now, come on, dear heart. I don't want you to do that now.
Back that up.
Now, can I just point out there's nothing at all wrong with all of this? Thank y'all very much.
Says a lot.
Y'all have any sweet tea for me? Y'all have any sweet tea? I would just love some sweet tea.
So, Clay,
pour me a glass of it. Listen, before we go on, I have to.
Robbie,
that's part of my rider and my contract when I do my touring, when I tour around the different amphitheaters.
Sweet tea, please.
I was down in Myrtle Beach just the other day, and they had the best sweet tea. It was fantastic. I enjoyed it. Let's remind everybody also, please, if you're going to serve snacks, no tree nuts. I'm allergic to tree nuts. That's part of my rider also.
I heard you like nuts.
Now, see, there you go. I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all because, really, I'm free with my sexuality.
Uh-huh.
I don't have any problems. I'm not going to keep it together. I'm not going to keep myself all locked up in a box. I'm Clay Aiken. What was that horrible sound? You played that because you can on your sound effects. Is that what you're doing? They gave you permission the other day, didn't they?
I think that was you, wasn't it?
Was that fleeting?
I don't know. Was that?
I ain't sure. There you go. It's me, Clay Aiken. How y'all doing, dear hearts? It's great. May I make a plug before we proceed with the interview process, which I know can be quite grueling, Don Geronimo. You can give us thank you. Sweet tea. Sweet tea, Billy Bob. Thank you very much there, Robbie Spiewak. Billy Bob Spiewak, right over there. Big fan of mine. Hi, y'all. This is Clay Aiken. I'd just like to say thank you so much, each and every one of you. Bless your hearts for buying my albums and going out into the stores and making these albums more successful than Big Fat Old Reuben Studdard, who was number one when I was on the show. I was actually number two. Excuse me, dear heart. Had a little problem with that. But I'm real excited to be on your show. I like doing all sorts of radio interviews. So go ahead and interview me.
Okay. How do I say this? Now, keep in mind, we had our indecency hearings or meetings yesterday.
Oh, man, I know that you are under a great deal of scrutiny, and I just want to say I sympathize with that because I believe in the freedom of speech.
Does your bottom get sore?
That's a very personal question. It's making me grin wide. That is making me grin awfully wide. I know exactly. You don't. Boy, let me tell you something, girlfriend. You don't pull any punches, do you? You want to get right into it, don't you?
Well, no.
You want to talk about right back here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you?
I'm so intrigued. Sometimes.
Do you hurt back there?
Of course I do sometimes. Yes. Yes, I do sometimes. Very much so. But not in a real bad way.
No.
Now, in a real good way.
Why don't you just why don't you just come out and tell all of your big, fat, pimply, Barry Manilow loving fans?
Now that is unkind and cruel. Are you saying that I have all my friends and fans are big and pimply? I'd like an apology.
Every woman.
How about an apology?
You have no male fans.
Would you like to see my abs?
What?
I have been working on my abs.
We don't really.
My abdominals. Would you like to see Clay Aiken's abdominals? My waist is currently 16 inches.
That's what you did on that gay website.
I have
it. Taking off your clothes on a gay website.
Would you like to see my abs?
Sure.
Let me show you.
Okay.
Take a look at these.
No stopping him.
Take a look at these.
Well, no wonder.
Aren't they nice and skinny?
Maybe.
These are my abdominals. I have been doing extra sit-ups. Extra sit-ups every day. Thank you, but your newsman is behind me. Watch out. He might be sneaking up on me. Are you sneaking up on Clay?
No, I'm way behind you, Clay.
Can I explain everything so you don't have to mislead your listening audience
and
we can get at this? Here's what happened.
Okay.
I went on a few man-on-man websites because I was on the road doing my tours, and I was lonely.
Sure.
And what I decided to do was just, you know, seek out some male companionship type things. You know, people that would like to be with me, I'd like to be with them. It's a simple thing. It's very, very easy. So what I did was I got on one website, and I met a nice gentleman who seemed very attractive. attractive to me.
Oh.
And I said, would you like to see my webcam? Now, what I have is a Hello Kitty webcam that's located right above my Hello Kitty computer, and it's next to my Hello Kitty TV set.
That's nice.
That I bring. And I took a picture of myself, and I said, look at me, and then I danced for him. And he said, could you dance for me without your clothes on? I said, of course I could. So what I did was, well he wanted to see me before we got together, you know.
Of course.
You understand, hmm?
Yeah.
And so,
I do.
What happened was, I danced for him in front of my webcam. As he said, it's a little blurry, I can't see you. And also, your head keeps bobbing in and out of the frame. I said, with your heart, I'm not concerned about that part of my body. And then I showed him, I showed him my little clay.
Oh, you did?
I showed him the little webcam.
Your little piece of clay?
I took my pink Hello Kitty webcam and I focused it right in. It's got a little focus control on it, too. Why don't you come over to my Meemaw's? We'll have some sweet tea and a biscuit. You really love my Meemaw. You would. Yeah. She makes the most heavenly marshmallow ambrosia you have ever tasted in your life. Dear heart, I will feed you. I will feed you. Why don't you come over and join me and my Meemaw, hmm? Do you wish to come over, step by, and just have a good old time? I'm Clay Aiken, and I'm happy to be here on the Don and Mike Show. I know you're all over the country.
Yes. Now,
I perform in Sacramento and Wichita, two of the cities that you broadcast in. Can I say hello to all my good fans out there? Clay Aiken saying, please buy my records and go to my shows.
Okay, then for the record, being as this seems to be a bit of a...
Would you like to hear the working title for my next album?
Is it called My Butt Hurts?
No, it's called 100 Pounds of Clay. It's all about me.
Yeah,
get it? Obviously. That's my current weight.
Actually,
it's closer to 97, but it's 100 pounds of clay, and it's a picture of me. I'm going to have a leather jacket, and I'm going to have a turtleneck, and it's going to be a beautiful album cover.
You should do a tour in Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
I'd love to. That would be wonderful. We'd go down there. I'd love to. You know what I really would love to do? I'd like to go to Japan. That would be so much fun to go there. I'd love to go to the Far East. That's exciting. They love people over there.
There is all this talk about you being sexually... Yes?
Nothing. I was just thinking for a second. I was just thinking, we got to go to another city tomorrow. I have to perform several national anthems at several different spring training games, and then I have to move on and tour. Then I'm going to go to the Dixie CMP because they have the best sweet tea, and... I'm running out over my itinerary in my own mind. I have a great tour bus. My tour bus is all fur.
You are?
All fur on the inside. Not a single seat. The driver has to stand,
Sexually ambiguous, I would say. Right? Like, nobody knows if you're...
Oh, they know me.
Hetero
my
or
friends
homo.
Know. My friends know exactly what I am. I am 100% flame.
Okay. Well,
don't you all forget it. And you think I'm covering up. I'm not covering up. Why do you think I put those things out on the website, Don Geronimo? Because I want people to know. I want people to know that I'm ready for love.
Okay, then.
Don't we all want a little love? We all want to put our head on a pillow next to somebody we think is sweet.
Answer.
Just like a sweet little biscuit.
Answer this question.
I will answer you these questions three. I heard you talking about that nerd boy that called in early. I thought that was funny. I love your show. You're just so funny with all the people calling in. You're nice to them. You're mean to them. It just goes back and forth all the time.
I
wish you'd play some of my music during your show. That would be special.
Here you go.
Is that all you have of mine? Is that Christmas music? I should point out to you that it's several months after Christmas. It's not. It's nearly, dear heart, it's nearly springtime. You should be playing something more summertime. Summertime music. I'd like to have a whole collection of summertime show tunes and put them on one of my albums. I think that would be really a lot of fun.
Address the rumors.
My friends know. My friends know who I'm all about. My friends Ace and Rip.
What about you? What about you and Neil Sedaka?
Neil Sedaka is my mentor. Uh-huh. As you know, I've reported that. I've been interviewed and said that he is somebody I've modeled my entire life
after. Is his mouth warm?
He's... Oh, that is too funny. You are really killing me with that one. Is his mouth warm? Like, did I kiss him on the lips?
Inside the mouth.
Well, yes, it was. Yes, it was warm. It was just like a little old pizza oven. It was delightful. Said Mr. Sedaka. Now, come on now. I did not tongue.
You did not?
No, I didn't do that at all. No. In my tour bus, we play a game. It's called Bitches Full of Honey.
What?
I'm sorry, Britches Full of Honey.
Oh. That sounds more like it. The first one sounded just wrong.
It would be britches full of honey. Not bitches full of honey.
Britches full of honey. You want to know how I play it? First of all, you need a jar of honey. And you need some oversized britches. About four inches too large around the waist, which is practically everything on me. I swear to God, it's so hard to shop in the boys' department and get the right length because I'm tall, but I'm thin.
Mm-hmm.
So the waist size doesn't match the length. Right. Everything I wear looks like clam diggers. They come halfway up my calf. I'm 6'2".
Do you pitch,
and I weigh 100 pounds.
Do you pitch or catch?
Both.
Well, what's your preference?
Oh, okay. Are you going to ask me the detailed questions right now? Because that's what you like to talk about.
Yeah.
Somebody said, Don Durama get you in the hot seat. What he's going to do, Clay, is he's going to grill you about your practices. And I said, well, it's a family show, isn't it? Aren't they subjected to all them rules and regs that the people up in the government want to do? And I said, yes, he does. He does that, but he's going to ask all sorts of questions, and he's going to use a innuendo. That's what he's going to do.
And isn't that what you get?
Yes.
Innuendo?
Of course I do. Hey. And I'm very free about talking with you.
Do me a favor.
I will.
Bend over like you're going to hike me a football.
All right?
This is fun.
How does that go?
Have you seen the center on a football team?
No, dear heart, I haven't.
Rob, show him what a center does. You know the guy that hikes the ball?
That's not, what's that, football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so get down like
that. He looks like he was getting ready for something else.
Get down like you're going to hike the ball.
All right, let me tell. Bend over like this.
Okay.
This is fun.
No, a little further.
All right.
There you go. Now, spell the word run.
Spell what?
Spell the word run.
Spell the word run. R-U-N. R-U-N? Why are you laughing? R-U-N. How long do I have to stay in this position? R-U-N. R-U-N. Why are you laughing so hard? R-U-N?
Think about what you're saying.
I win every time. My other game's called Sock Full of Whipping Cream. Sock Full of Whipping Cream is the greatest game. We play that on the farm, and we have such a great time between tours. I love Sock Full of Whipping Cream.
So,
you don't need whipping cream. You can use butter, too.
So you're in love with... Are you in love
fresh,
with...
Fresh, sweet, South Carolina creamery butter.
Mm-hmm. Ace Young? Is he the guy that's got your heart this year?
I think he's probably my favorite. You know, what I tell people, last year when I was watching Constantine, I was just saying, he is just incredible. I said, make love to camera with your eyes. That's what people like to do, and they do that now. And Ace Young's doing the same thing. He's really fun to watch. I think he's going to be a big hit. I think he's going to be a smash star, and I think he's going to be very good. He's not as musically sound as some previous contestants, but what I do like about him is that he has the ability to look in the camera right in the eye and make you feel like he wants to be with you. And I pretend when I'm watching that show, I said something. I said to one of my good friends the other day, I said, Bucky, he's looking right at me. He is looking right at me. That's the way I feel. I said, Bucky. Bucky's my friend.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I met him on the internet. Good guy.
In a man-on-man room?
But now, you know, we don't do that anymore. We're kind of exclusive.
Oh.
Bucky and I are kind of exclusive right now. He's not going to tour with me because he's got to work at the shop. But he is really, really wonderful. And I hate the girls on the show, though, this year. They're just not. I don't think they got one talented girl in the entire group.
Yeah.
I do not like them one little bit. I love that little boy that's on there, though, with the round face and the glasses and the speech impediment.
Sure
he is
do.
Delightful. And, of course, I love the judges. I do. I think Paula Abdul is the sweetest thing on the face of the earth. It's wonderful. I love Kevin Covellas. He's a pick to click. Absolute pick to click. It's wonderful. You going to be watching the Oscars?
I think I might.
Yeah, it's the Academy Award time. We have a big Oscar party. Me and Bucky, we have some of our friends come over. We make popcorn, and it's just a lot of fun. And then we all play Sock Full of Whipping Cream.
Does your bottom hurt right now?
No, it does not hurt right now. I've been on the road. I just flew in today. I haven't seen Bucky in 3-4 days, actually, so I'm fine. I'm fine. I could run a marathon right now.
Huh.
That ain't going to be what it's like when I get back home, though, and Bucky's waiting for me.
That's right.
Waiting for me in his white terry cloth bathrobe and says, hello, Clay, how was your tour? Did you do some radio shows? I said, yes, I did, Bucky. Let's go. It's time. It's time. And then I'll share with him that little football game you taught me. That thing, bend over and spell R-U-N. That's a great one. I think that's a big-time fun. I really do. Would you like to see some naked pictures of me? I keep some in my wallet. Look at that.
I
don't want to see that.
That's my Christmas picture.
What are you?
That's my Christmas picture where I dressed up as a naked elf.
I see all of your stuff there. I mean, all of your, like, stuff that God gave you there.
Get out your britches, Bucky. I brung honey. We're going to have so much fun. I really enjoy this show. I do not like your digs, though, here. This is good. Dear heart, you need to do some feng shui around here and get this thing rearranged. This is dank and smelly and dirty and looks like it needs a good old bath. What you have to do? Yeah. How do you work in these conditions each and every day? I will have, you know, one of my rider, along with the tree nut allergy that I have, when I say no tree nuts in my dressing room, what I say to everybody is, you better come by and see. I do not want one speck of dirt when I walk into my dressing room. It'll be clean, sanitized from head to toe. And they do it. They do it. If I'm going to perform there, they do that. I don't care if I'm performing at one of them old moose halls. Mm-hmm. I want my dressing room spick and span clean. I want it fantastic. This studio, it needs fur, bear rugs, some mirrors on the ceiling, and I think it needs a little spray of something citrus.
He's right.
That's just my opinion. I mean, you could tell me whether I'm right or wrong. It doesn't matter to me, but I just can't stay all night, darling. I got to go back and get on the internet. I got to do some chatting. Okay. I love chat group.
Okay, let's get a couple of callers. 877-365-3636. Play the game with Clay Aiken.
Billy Bob Speedwack, have him spray some citrus stuff. Can you do that in here? That would really do something.
Yeah,
that's what I think we don't enjoy. Yeah,
sure.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Wes, don't you look nice? You're the best dressed man in the room.
That's very kind of you.
Look at you. I didn't even look over at him. He's got that nice tight shirt, almost kind of like a turtlenecky thing. He's got a big little bomber jacket on. I said, "Oh, Flyboy." That's fantastic. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
What does Elton John taste like?
I never met him really in chance to taste, you know, his lips or anything. So, I mean, I'm not really that attracted to him. He's not my cup of tea.
Well, about Ryan Seacrest?
No, not him either. I could tell you who the celebrity is, though. He was just in the paper the other day.
Who? Who's that?
George Michaels is, oh, my God, he is fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Boy, do you see him? He's got a little salt and pepper beard thing going on. Oh, my God, he's just great.
What does he taste
Wham!
Like?
That's what I say when I see him. Wham!
What's he taste like?
I ain't met him yet. Come on now. That's what I said. I mean, I'm just like you. I see him in the paper and all that. I want to get to know him and such. Bucky gets mad when I read the gossip rags.
Sure.
Said, boy, I'd like to be with him and him and him and him. I'd like to be with Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger simultaneously. Absolutely. George tastes like olives.
George?
Yeah, George tastes like olives, I imagine. Hmm? Don't you think? George Michaels?
We wouldn't know.
It may taste like black olive.
I think it's George Michael. I don't think there's an S on the end
of that. Well, you look to how you pronounce it. Your way I pronounce mine. I don't care. I just see George Michaels. Doesn't matter. Fact is, he's pretty. He's the prettiest man I've ever seen.
What's your Jeopardy? He would play Aiken.
He can come on my fur tour bus any day he wants. He's a good man. I'm having
so
a great
speak.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we know what you meant.
My fur tour bus? Oh, you're thinking that I'm talking about that. There ain't no fur down there.
You said he can come on my fur tour bus any day.
Oh, that is so bad. You're not supposed to talk like that.
You
Stop
didn't realize
it.
You said that.
I said that?
Yeah, you
Well,
did.
No, I mean, you know, I meant come over for a visit is what I meant.
Right.
You don't have to make it nasty and dirty. Yeah, George Michael, man, if I was able to plant one on his lips, it would be something like olives and feta cheese. Mm. I think that's what it might taste like. This is fun. I could do radio. I really could if the singing career goes down the toilet. I'd come by here and just have a good time and chat all day long. People say, Clay, you can talk like a blue streak. I said, I'd love to talk, especially when I got my friend Bucky with me. That's great. We can talk all night, talk all day.
You're talking about a brown streak.
Now that's a joke. I know what you're talking. That's like when you played the football game and you bent me over like that.
That's
uh-huh.
right.
That's fantastic. You want to see my abs again?
No, I don't want to see your abs.
You're lost, Don Geronimo.
Okay.
Chat all day.
As it turns out, one call. Because we have a champion.
Oh, we have a champion. That's fantastic.
Call now. Dial recklessly. We'll be right back.
Bye, boy.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
Right.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
How's it? The Don and Mike Show.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're here with Clay Aiken.
How are you, Don? Having a great time. I really like coming on your show, but I'm just itchy. Can't get rid of this itching. Come on. Horrible.
Itching where?
Let me just tell you, sometimes I've just got to drag myself across the floor like a little puppy dog.
Oh, no.
Oh. You mean back there?
Yes. Just can't get it to stop. I don't know what it is. I don't know about doctoring and things like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't begin to tell you what it was.
Clay,
I need some cream.
Let's play a little bunch of Jeff R.D.
All right. I'm in discomfort.
I can tell.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy 9. In the studio's our challengers, the House Frau from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Let's say hi to Gail Rosenthal.
Well, let me find her. Here she is. Hello there, Gail.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Now in the studio's our champion. His total $33. Student from Burtonsville, Maryland. Let's say hi to you, little old Kurt Radcliffe.
Hello, hey, Kurt.
Hi there,
Mike.
Hi there, buddy.
Now entering the studio's the host, Low Budget Jeopardy, Gail and Kurt. Please don't screw with LQ and make yourself welcome to Mr. Alex Trebek Geronimo.
All right, thank you, Clay. And here we go. Gail and Kurt, here are your categories. What's wrong, Clay?
Just the itching. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to me. I'll be squirming around like a little old worm over here, but I know you got to do the game, but just bear with me. I'm just having a little discomfort.
Do you want a pencil or something?
Yeah, pencil with number two pencil with an eraser on it. That would be
the
fun. Fantastic.
Number two.
You can keep that pencil.
There we go.
Thank you, Buzz.
That hit the spot.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So to speak.
Oh, I'm a magician. It's gone.
Here are your categories. I hope you don't get lead poisoning.
Don't worry about me. What's that? I don't know about all those things. Poisoning.
Yeah.
Here are your categories. They are This week on the Don and Mike Show.
That's a good category. That's all about your show, isn't it?
We'll have a gay old time.
Now I know where you're going with that.
And, oh, my aching back.
My back ain't aching.
Oh, my aching back.
That's pretty funny. I think I know all these categories. I could do very well if I was playing the game.
Gail, you're a girl. We like girls better than boys. We'll start with you, Gail.
I'll take oh, my aching back.
Oh, my aching back.
Good luck, girlfriend.
Clay Aiken was on this season of American Idol.
What is season two?
$1, right. Way to go, Gail. That's good. You're off to a running start. Select again. This is going to be an exciting game. I'm very excited about every little bit of this.
I'll try Oh My Aching Back.
Okay, Oh My Aching Back. The man who beat Clay Aiken on American Idol.
Who is Reuben Studdard?
Yes.
Fatty, fatty, fatty. That's what I used to say behind his back. He never heard me say that. That would have been cruel to say that to his face, but that's what I used to whisper on my breath. It was kind of my way. Still didn't help me win, but I was sitting there and I just go, fatty, fatty.
Who are you talking about?
Reuben Studdard. That's good.
He likes that.
Okay, go again, Gail.
I'll try who? Oh, my aching back.
Oh, my aching back for three. Here we go. Clay comes.
What?
From the state.
Where is South?
Oh. All righty, Kurt, it's your chance to steal. Good luck for you, little boy.
I don't know the answer to that.
Thank you, Mr. Dumas. The answer is North Carolina.
North Carolina. Hooray for North Carolina. You can see me there anytime. You want to come down, see me and Bucky. Have some biscuits and some sweet tea.
The Tar Heels.
Uh-huh. And, Gail, that means you're in control.
What?
Pencil came out.
Oh.
Gail, you're in control.
Oh, my aching back.
No, no, no. Here's what you have now, honey.
Come on now. Y'all pay attention now. It's not that complicated.
You either select from this week on the Don Mike Show, or we'll have a gay old time.
Teehee.
We'll have a gay old time.
Okay.
My choice, too.
It's a very popular sports drink.
What is Gatorade?
Gatorade.
Gatorade. I understand what you're doing.
Gatorade.
All right. $1 for you, Gail. You're still in control. Select again, dear heart.
I'll repeat the category.
Okay, for two. Just say for two.
Mm-hmm.
For two.
That's a good girl.
There you go. I love it when you do that disciplinary thing.
Great ointment.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry.
Kurt, it's your chance to steal.
I didn't hear the question.
Terribly sorry. You have to listen real carefully.
I'm sorry
now.
I said as clear as a bell.
Oh.
Yes.
Ben Gay.
Yes, Ben Gay.
Right.
Great ointment.
Yeah, that's right. Smells like menthol.
It's a great ointment.
It burns, though. Burns me.
Okay, here we
go. So does lemon juice. All right, Gail, you're in control.
One more now.
All right.
Same category for three.
We'll have a gay old time. Serial killer / clown painter.
I hear somebody hammering away on the keyboard. All right, Kurt, your chance
somebody,
to steal.
Somebody's Googling this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would be John Wayne
Gacy. Bad, bad man. Oh, that was that. I did that.
Oh.
Wait, even during the middle of the game.
Keyboard, yeah.
There it goes.
I hate that damn thing.
Oh, Clay.
Slap my wrist. Gail, you're in control. Slap again, please, dear heart.
Let's try it again for four.
Okay, now how about, there's only three in each category.
Oh, they're not four?
No, there's not four, Clay.
Okay, I'm sorry, I wasn't keeping color.
So let's go to This Week with Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, your show.
This show.
I get it.
Here we go. Gail.
Yes.
He was our in-studio panelist for our salute to Black History Month.
Who is the...
Kurt, it's your chance to steal.
Who is Robert the Angry Mailman?
There you are. Yeah. Yes, great, Kurt. He's the listener of the show. Congratulations.
There you go.
There you go. You made it. All right, Kurt, go again.
All right, this week on the Don and Mike Show.
For two. He has a lobster sandwich and a cup of soup named after him.
Who is Jim Nance?
Oh, look at his puppet bag now.
The sportscaster guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him.
Really?
How does Jim Nance taste?
I'd rather not say. That's the first thing I'd really rather not talk about.
Can I guess?
Well, you can guess if you want.
Salty?
Just a bit. He's going to... No, listen, please, Don. Okay. Can't you hit that button that makes the thing not go on
here?
There
you go.
Done and done.
How's that? And for three, here we go. Final question on the big board. He's the man who wrote the Don and Mike anthem, and he comes from this country.
Olaf, I don't know.
He had your chance to steal.
Gail.
Who is Barry Manilow?
No, I'm terribly sorry.
No, the answer was Russia.
It's Russia. That's where it comes from.
The man who wrote the Dynamite Anthem came from this country.
That's right.
That would be Russia.
He was a risky, and that's the end of the first round. A low budget Jeopardy.
Yes, it is.
Take the Yuletide game.
Thank you for playing my music. Please go out and buy it in stores. You can celebrate Christmas even in summertime.
And we're going to have fun a little bit to Jeopardy now. Who's got what, Clay?
I've got $4 for Gail. Kurt has $3. Pretty close game. Pretty much of a horse race we have going over here.
All right, guys. Anything can happen. Hey, good luck, and here's your category. 25 years ago today. Quarter century ago. 25 years ago this week. This man made his last appearance on the CBS Evening News. Okay?
Gail.
God. Pardon me?
Who is Walter Cronkite?
No, you're not supposed to say it out loud, Gail, damn it.
I'm sorry.
You know what that I'm afraid is?
Oh, my.
An instant disqualification for Gail.
That means that Kurt will be the only one praying right now.
Yes, Kurt.
Praying and playing, I mean.
But Kurt's going to play by himself.
All right.
Play with himself.
My friend Homo Joe sometimes calls you, hmm?
Yes. Yeah.
Just asking.
Okay, Kurt.
Yes.
Good luck. Here's the answer.
And don't blurt it out like she did, or you will be disqualified, too. And you'll go right to jail. Right to Don and Mike jail.
Right, because we give you, 30 seconds to think it over.
Mm-hmm.
25 years ago this week, this man made his last appearance on the CBS Evening News. Good luck. Don't forget answering the form of a question.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive clay cakes. Clay cakes miniatures about size, little birthday cakes with yummy yum buttercream frosting with teeny candy hearts.
What about your urinal cakes?
That's not funny.
Those
I'm
are
trying
delicious.
To sell food. This is good food stuff here. It's got buttercream frosting with teeny tiny hearts on top, and bitch, I guarantee they'll just melt in your mouth. I hope you'll enjoy my clay cakes, and if you do, I know you'll love my sausage. Coming this August. Here's my slogan. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Y'all already love my music, but you'll be aching for my food. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex DeBeck Geronimo.
Aching for your bacon.
Aching for my... Oh. That's why you're an advertising genius. Aching for my bacon. Fruit stripe gum. I should have come up with that myself.
Now, let's see. Gail already blurted it out, so she's disqualified.
Right.
Sorry about that, Gail.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, honey. Rules is rules. Parts is parts.
Parts. May I just take time to say I wish my friend Homo Joe a hello? We parted not as friends.
Mm. Oh. Kurt.
Yes.
Kurt, 25 years ago this week, this man made his last appearance on CBS Evening News.
Who is Walter Cronkite?
Oh, now.
That means you are still the Low Budget Jeopardy champion, Kurt Radcliffe. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, would you have known that if Gail had not blurted it out?
Probably not. No, I wouldn't have. Thank you, Gail.
Would she have known without Google?
Kurt. Thanks, Kurt.
you missed the little eagle beaver, weren't you?
Either way... whatever. It's Friday.
Right.
Gail, don't go away, man. Just go away. Kurt, little lovable Kurt. Here's a little lovable
Clay Aiken. Come on, don't forget my name. Kurt with W. It's going to $6. I'm throwing a $25 bonus. A total of $31. Had your previous total. Your total right now, $64. You get to keep that money. No one's ever going to take it away from you, Kurt Radcliffe. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have you ever stemmed the rose?
I certainly have. I wrote the novel on that, boy. I certainly did. I stemmed a lot of roses. Roses, daisies, all sorts of stuff. Watch out for them thorns. And I got a parting gift for you, Gail Rosenthal. You ready, dear heart?
I am. I'm so ready.
Congratulations. You won an MP3 player courtesy of Samsung and Circuit City. Circuit City makes it simple to learn about the latest in home entertainment technology, like Samsung HD TV with DLP technology. Learn more at Samsung.com or in the Circuit City today. Just roll on in there and get yourself one of the little MP3 players and play all the Clay Aiken music you can. Thank you, dear heart. Thanks for playing the game.
I will. Thank you, Clay Aiken.
Gail, I wish you wouldn't have said the answer.
I know.
Yeah, you should have won. And Kurt?
Yes.
I count the minutes until we speak next week.
All right. Same here, man.
Y'all take care, Kurt. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Hold on, please.
Oh,
Clay?
He's 21, Kurt Radcliffe. He's a 21-year-old game player. Huh. Do you have a picture of him?
No.
Is there a chance I could see a picture of everybody called you show?
No, we don't.
We don't have that.
Well, that's too bad. You don't have technology for that.
Not yet.
Like to look at people. I'll see the faces when I'm chatting.
Do me a favor.
I sure will.
Put that pencil somewhere else. I don't like... No,
smells like pencil. It does. It smells like pencil. That's me.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
I got photos of Joe.
He made it up.
Come on, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I got photos of him. He's got bald head. He's got a little bald head.
That's Joe, yeah.
He's a nice man, though. If he's listening, I'll say again, I'm sorry we didn't part as friends.
Yeah.
Buzz?
Yes?
What are your lead stories on the news and comments?
That's the most amazing vegetable garden.
I've heard.
How about?
Tonight, hi, Clay. Tonight, the trial of George W. Bush has begun.
Meanie man Bush doesn't like people like me, that's for sure. Doesn't like us, doesn't like our people.
How's that sex injury coming along?
Pretty well, thank you.
And how not to kill your wife.
All right.
You'll never have that problem.
It's time for me to go, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to slide out of here like a puppy dog.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Clay?
Yes, Mr. Geronimo. That was very itchy professional.
This is the Don and Mike. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
It's time to make Stinky with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I'm for Buzz's news right now. Buzz brought to us tonight by the Hard Times Cafe. All the great food you love to eat, great food, good people, cheap prices. Hard Times Cafe. And now here is Buzz Girdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Well, the trial of George W. Bush entered its fourth day today, even if it is just a classroom exercise in Parsippany, New Jersey. But now the whole world is reading about the trial on the internet because the school board there has gotten complaints. Now there's going to be a special school board meeting about it. That sounds bad. In the trial, the president stands accused of war crimes, with students learning how to be prosecutors before a panel of five teacher judges. The teachers have gotten some praise for this and a lot of flack, thanks to political talk shows taking up the cause. The difference, of course, between a courtroom and a political talk show is that the courtroom listens to both sides.
Hi, kids.
God.
He's a bad man, isn't he?
There they are, the little junior lawyers.
That's right.
Aren't they cute? Look at them go. God doesn't like some of the things Pat Robertson's been saying. And as Robertson taught us, when you anger the Lord, bad things happen. After 30 years of membership, the board of directors of the National Religious Broadcasters has kicked out Pat Robertson because of the idiocy that spews from his lips. The most recent shining example was when Robertson said Israel's prime minister had a stroke because he divided God's land.
No! La, 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 la.
The president of the religious broadcaster says that kind of talk is, quote, not helpful.
Well, Buzz, I think that that's an outstanding sign.
Yeah, don't you?
I mean, should have started a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, this guy has, believe it or not, a huge audience, and he's dangerous. Yeah. And I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how much effective, what's it, some organization, so they kick him out? He's still going to be on the air.
Oh, he's still going to have his house of beef church or whatever. I mean,
it's his network, right? Isn't it his network?
Yeah,
he's one of
those guys that's got, like, almost like the Dollywood Stampede.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Where you go to church, but really you have, like, a roast beef dinner that you eat with your hands, and they put on a singing and dancing show, and Jesus comes out at one point, and it's like a soft shoe thing where he goes, hey, just in case you were wondering, those nails, they were metal, baby.
That's right.
Roast beef dinner.
Enjoy it with your hands.
At Pat Robertson's all-you-can-eat Dixie Stampede church.
Okay, you see a bumper sticker on a bicycle in Athens, Ohio that says, this bicycle is a pipe bomb. How are you supposed to know that's a local punk rock band from Pensacola, Florida? So when a Sharpa, that's the name of the band, this bicycle is a pipe bomb.
That's the full name of the band?
That's the name of the band.
Wow.
So when a sharp-eyed policeman spotted this bicycle sticker on the Ohio University campus, things got a little crazy. At 5:30 in the morning, the cops blocked the streets for blocks around. They brought in a bomb squad from Columbus, which is over an hour away. They blasted the bike with a high-pressure hose to see if the bomb would go off. It didn't. They pried the bike apart with the jaws of life and found no bomb inside.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Questioned the owner, found out about the band, and then released him.
Thank you, bye.
Sounds like a righteous bond.
It is. A 36 cubic miles. Think about that. 36 cubic miles.
What was the name of that group?
That was called This Bicycle is a Pipe Bomb. That's the name of the group. You have a recording.
You've got everything.
Now?
You've got everything on CD. Great
this record. Bicycle is a. This is I guess from Underground College Radio.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Body people.
The new band.
What's the name of the band again?
This Bicycle is a Pipe Bomb.
Yeah, I like it. It's new and it's fresh.
Mm-hmm. Never heard it before.
Not very pitchy.
Kids dig it.
I like it. You know what? I got a prediction.
Right.
You could play this like at a football game.
Oh, I don't know.
I think you might be right.
And maybe the people in the crowd would all start saying, "Whoop, there it is."
That's never going to catch on.
Yeah.
I don't see that.
From the debut album of This Bicycle is a Pipe Bomb.
I like the flip, too.
Mm-hmm. 36.
Oh, hold on, Bud. You're right.
Yes, what?
Let me turn the record over.
Oh,
what's on the B-side?
This is the B-side.
Uh-huh. I think Clay left that here.
They're so versatile.
Cause I'm loving you lots and lots. I'm just loving you lots and lots. I'm loving you lots and lots.
Delightful.
They call themselves a punk band, but they're not. It's kind of like Green Day.
Mm-hmm.
36 cubic miles of ice a year. When that much ice melts...
Ice, baby.
Mm-hmm. When 36 cubic miles of ice melts every year, well, that raises the level of the oceans. There's more water in the ocean, pushing its way onto the land. A new study shows... The Antarctic ice mass is shrinking. It's just another in a series of studies over the last few weeks, reaching the same conclusion. One last month reported that Greenland's glaciers are melting twice as fast as we thought.
So are the ratings here at 106.7.
Yeah, there's a great similarity. And this similarity...
Glacier 106.7.
And it all ties together.
Yes.
The glaciers melt. That causes icebergs. Mm-hmm. Icebergs float out into the water. WJFK ship hits the iceberg.
That's right.
This berg.
Berg.
Rosenberg.
We should have known.
Iceberg.
It's not like we weren't warned.
Rosenberg.
That was horrible.
Oh, shut up, son.
Just one more question.
Yeah.
And you know how that chunk of frozen snow at the end of your driveway melts slowly at first and then breaks apart to melt even faster?
Do I?
The new study says sea levels worldwide could rise 20 feet. Antarctica is where you'll find 90% of the world's ice. It says, the study says, lakes and rivers could dry up from the higher temperatures. This is the trend.
That's not true.
No?
No. The country is Smirnoff.
The country is Smirnoff.
Smirnoff ice.
That gives us the most. Thank you.
I got
thank
it. Thank you.
Thank you. Smirnoff ice. Thank
didn't
you.
Catch
it's a good beverage.
It sure is.
What am I saying? They're all good.
This is just a trend, according to the study, but experts still disagree on this. Quoting another, one person's trend is another person's fluctuation. Another global concern, of course, is the saline that's leaking out of the fake breasts of hip-hop star Lil' Kim.
Thank you!
And since she's in prison, it is perhaps too much of a repair job for prison doctors. All this according to the New York Post, which quotes a source as saying she's worried her boobs are leaking. She needs to have them serviced.
How long
money? How long have we been waiting to hear that? She needs to have them serviced.
Let's get busy.
That's right. The prison says it will get outside medical help for Lil' Kim.
Take it easy, honey.
If necessary.
Oh, I don't like that.
No. In suburban Denver, Greg Pringle stands 4 hours a day along the side of a major highway with a dummy. Stands along the road with a dummy. It's the dummy he used to cheat his way into the carpool lane. The judge ordered the man to stand along that same carpool lane with the dummy.
Joe.
And a sign that reads, the HOV lane is not for dummies.
Joe.
I love judges like this.
Yeah.
I believe in judges like this. It's fun.
This guy seems to be level-headed, this judge. He says Greg is free to talk about this if he wants to on Letterman, but any money he makes goes back to the town of Westminster, Colorado.
What did he have in the car again?
The sign he has. He had a dummy in the car.
That's right.
And then he has a sign that says...
I don't care about that.
Yeah, you do, because the sign says the HOV lane is not for...
Yeah, specifically, what was in the car?
A dummy.
Joe.
Thank you.
And the sign said this lane is not for dummies.
Joe. Where's that book called, the one I'm looking for? Broadcasting for Joeys.
The yellow one?
Yeah.
With the big fake chalkboard?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
They're in all the Barnes and Nobles now.
You can't go anywhere without seeing them.
In making his ruling, the judge said, quote, remember, the dummy is not charged with anything.
Joe.
Would you like a lollipop? I've got some JoJo's.
Dum-dums.
Uh-huh. You may...
Oh, there you go, Rob, Joeing it down again.
You may, if you wish, think of that beer gut as Mother Nature's automobile safety airbag. A new study says moderately overweight men are more likely to survive car crashes than men who are either thin or obese.
I'm not going to be overweight for long once I start working on those Joe Bells.
The study says the extra padding of a beer gut really does seem to help, but that there's a cutoff point at which being fat actually puts you in more danger.
No.
It's not a line, really. It's more of a zone. The cutoff point depends on your body mass index, which is something that has to be calculated.
Mm-hmm.
The study says this principle, for some reason, does not apply to women. And that, of course, calls for a study of the correlation between crash-induced injuries and the size of a woman's breasts. In the meantime, for guys, that spare tire might save your life.
Wow.
But I'm so Joe. We got a break.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
We have a new joke.
Joe.
And it's fun.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Funny joke. We'll come back, and I know you've got like something you're proud of here.
A very big story, I think, about, and an important lesson about how not to kill your wife.
Oh. Blind, deaf, and Joe.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Jim Carrey stars in Joe and Joer. As my dad would say, damn Joey.
Joey.
Theater Loop of the Belfry Kids.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating. And entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Nightmarishly elastic. The Don and Mike Show.
You say that you love me.
And I'm just talking to Johnny about our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Yeah.
The daily audio highlight will be back up today.
Yay.
Hopefully within an hour or so. And we will have the stuff, I think, from all the days this week that we've missed as well.
Oh, good.
Enjoy.
We'll be caught up, and don't forget iTunes. That's where you can get the show on the podcast.
Everybody's doing it, yeah.
And now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
And did I mention that we are the most downloaded podcasted show in the history of everything?
That's right.
Right about that this weekend.
Not even a show, just the most thing.
Yeah. Essay.
That's right. Yeah.
Right about that essay.
Yeah.
Silly ass.
Finally, 55-year-old Bob Holcomb of suburban Atlanta was crazy about the girl, and his wife was just in the way. So he tried to kill the missus. He broke the gas line into his house, hoping it would cause the house to explode.
Are you writing notes down?
It didn't. He then closed the garage door and opened its door into the house and ran the car to fill the house with deadly carbon monoxide.
Nobody knows I'm saying that to Buzz or to Rob.
Right.
I think I know.
The carbon monoxide thing, that didn't work either.
No, it never
does. So then Bob tried poisoning her with Percocet. No good.
Wow.
That didn't work either, huh, Rob?
I didn't want to spare him.
Desperate, he tried Benadryl. That didn't work either. After 4 failed attempts, Bob asked his adult son, Robert II, to help him kill Mom. It didn't work. The son called the cops, who had him wear a wire.
You know, what's funny is that Rob's son, his name
Robert,
is named Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Robert.
Is this the past or the future?
Help me, III.
The son called the cops, and the cops had him wear a wire so Dad could be arrested and possibly convicted, but the law in Georgia seems to understand, assuming Bob is found guilty, he could be out in less than 6 years for this. That'll be enough time to catch up with that girl he likes so bad. You see, she's a stripper, and she required money from Bob in order to spend time with him. It's not that Bob hated his wife to death, he just needed the insurance money to pay the girl, whose name is Misty. Now he'll have to ask his son to pay Misty for me.
Oh, no!
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Seriously.
Oh, no. Wow.
F you.
On the Don and Mike Show.
What is this? This is our emergency buzz sucks alarm.
I'll go stand in the hall.
God. Seriously. And like, I mean, yeah, I love you, Buzz. But the guy comes to me before the show really and says, for the wind-up, I've got something I'm really proud of.
Really happy with
can
that.
Can I make sure that I have at least 2 minutes? So, like, we, you know, we time everything out and... Yeah.
Like to invite all our listeners to join us this weekend on our cruise ship comedy spectacular.
That was horrible.
All right.
That's it. And again, Simon,
that was horrible.
Right. Have a great weekend, everybody. A safe weekend. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy. We'll be back on Monday with a new episode. See you then. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you?
You'll feel better after some pasta salad. Yeah.
Made in the morning.
Someday we'll tell you why that's funny.
Yeah, sorry. I'm an ass.
No, you're not.
No.
You're still here?
Oh, we're still here now.
You're not an ass.
You were just repeating something Robin repeated.
Rob's an ass.
Pretty funny. It'll be in the book.
No, Rob's not an ass either.
Hey, we're all in here.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
I love Joe.
Hi.
How do you feel about Joe now being like, you know, when we used to use the word Alan to mean...
John's in here now.
Bathroom.
Hey, we're
like when someone would say, I have to go take an Alan.
Uh-huh.
Right. Are you offended that right now you say, oh my gosh, I am so Joe, I left my car keys locked in the car.
I can't work with you, Don.
Hey, now we really... are all in here.
Hey, we're all in here.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi
John.
I got to get to my car, put on my CD, The Crash Test Joeys.
Can I meet again? Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. Let me leave you swinging.
Come on, really, everybody go! This is where Rob and I clean up now. Get out of here.
Get out.
You
got to
hit that.
Christ.
I know I do.
Because you see...
Yes.
The joke is, whatever. What was the joke again?
What about the pasta salad?
No,
the fight.
No,
play Misty for me.
What was it, Buzz?
About the Dumb and Joe or about the pasta salad?
Play Misty for me.
That joke. Oh, that joke
is the Don and Mike Show.